If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hello, I'm taking a dump.
Now, which sex is your oldest?
We have a boy, Joshua, that's 16.
Now, he's not going to want to spend much time with all those other boys in their room come pretty here a couple years.
Is it possible that Kevin can know any f***ing less than he does or screw up any of the jokes more than he does? Do me a favor, Kev. Eat a bag of shit.
This is the world-famous K-Rock.
I finally bottomed out. Ladies and gentlemen, I finally lost it completely.
What a sucker Kevin is.
And what about, what was I going to ask you? I forget what I was going to ask you.
You dock-sided, Kevin.
Is that, so he doesn't, are you
common.
A regular duck fan? You watch all the time him?
Kevin is a great guy. He is not much of an entertainer.
And now.
Hey, look, everybody. Kevin's back. Kevin. We love you, Kevin.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How's it going?
Yeah.
What's up?
What's happening?
What's up?
How's it hanging? Hey, put those papers down there, would you? I wrote something on that paper, and I can't find it.
How long ago did you walk in this morning after a week away, Kevin?
Oh, I don't know. I was here about way early. I mean, I was here like 2 minutes ago.
Oh, wow.
You know, like, just time to burn.
That's plenty of time to catch up.
Yeah.
Make sure you know what's going on.
Well, I realized that we are doing 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock in the 5 o'clock hour. I like that. That was good.
What? What's that about?
I don't know. Mike doesn't start his replay now till about 5:25. Not sure why that happens. But
no, usually I start it a lot earlier. Today, I do the editing in a different studio and then bring it in here to play. And I had some technical difficulties. So that was the reasoning behind that.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't take me long to catch up because I really don't pay attention.
That's true. So there's not that much to learn.
Right. So you can catch up just by going, okay, how's it going? Fine. All right. I'm caught up.
Well, you should be glad you're back because baseball season started while you were gone. And I'm watching the Red Sox and the A's play right now in Tokyo.
All
Boston's up. Boston's down 4-1 right now.
Don't care. Is the official season started? It's no longer preseason?
Yes.
And although that's the first game?
However, yesterday was the first game. Although the caveat is these two games count, and then we go back to games that don't count preseason this weekend, and then it starts again on Sunday.
What?
I know. It's kind of honked up. Well, they needed to give the Boston and Oakland time to travel back and forth to Japan.
Right.
So they're playing these games now, and then they're coming back, and then the season starts again on Sunday.
Well, why do they not just make these games in Japan preseason? And that way they don't have to start the season twice.
That is a good question. Why is that, Mike? Why do they decide that these games count?
I think because they want to get more money out of the Far East. I think it's a certain way.
That's the reason they go and they do the...
Right, but also I think that they can suck more money out of them by saying this is a real, legitimate Major League Baseball game. This isn't some BS preseason deal.
Yeah, you're probably right. You get maybe more media attention if it's this opening of the season and everything, too, maybe.
I that has to be the reason.
That's
because
really weird.
It totally screws up and disjoints the season. It has
yeah,
to
it
be,
does.
It has to be money. And though, in that same vein, I watched a little bit of the game yesterday. It's so weird. In Japan, they don't have the same restrictions about advertising on the jerseys.
Oh, right.
So it was so weird to see like an Oakland A step up to the plate and his helmet's covered like a NASCAR helmet.
Really?
Yeah, it was like weird.
That is bizarre.
Well, I just think it's a great trend that I can wake up first thing in the morning and there's baseball already on. That's rather than have to wait till, you know, like noon or something. That's what's great for me.
I think I like the fact that baseball's willing to go, all right, preseason. Oops, season. No, preseason. I like
know,
that.
It's weird, right?
Yeah, it's effed up is what it is.
So anyway, that's good times right there.
And I also almost wrecked my car this morning coming into the station because we have the security gate that closes really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And I was turning left at the light and I saw it was open. So I thought, I can probably make it through.
Right, rather than let it close and then go and hit the button and have it reopen.
And I had my card key out. There was no reason. It's not like I left it, you know, someplace. I had it. But then at that point, it's a challenge. And the gate's like halfway closed, and I'm thinking to myself as I gun it, I can just get through that, I think.
And risking your car is certainly worth the challenge.
But at that point, you lose all, you know, perspective. You just go, got to get through, must get through.
You become competitive.
I think I could do it. I really
I can beat that gate.
Roll down the window and hold the gate shut with your hand. I don't know. It was pretty bizarre, but I made it, so that's good.
Now, Lisa May is on vacation. The beautiful Gianna Suter is joining us here this morning. Hey, Gianna, how are you?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Very good, thank you.
We're fine.
Good.
Gianna was disgusted with us yesterday. She hadn't heard the show in a while. And all day long, she was like, oh.
Well, there's a lot to be disgusted.
You guys,
about.
Let's be honest. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't. No. That's what it was like all day long yesterday. Gianna didn't know Sarah Jessica Parker was fugly, for instance. She didn't realize that. I know. How do you not know that, right?
I stand behind that she's still fairly cute.
No, no. God. Well, you're wrong. So you got that going for you.
Okay, good.
She's hideous, let's be honest.
Yeah, she's a shoe. So she might, Gianna might end up in the basement later today. I'm just warning you.
All right, well, that's a good tip.
But anyway, so we've got a big Kevin and Bean show. You want me to tell you what's coming up, or
sure.
You want to tell us what's coming up?
Either way.
Well, we spoke with LaQuisha at the very end of yesterday's show, and you know she loves this That's Amore over there on MTV.
Sure. Yeah.
The most unbelievable episode of that show I think that's ever aired. I mean, it's just crazy. It can't even be real. These people can't be real. The stuff they make them do can't be real. All in the under the false pretense of they're looking for true love,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, one contestant's mom is, like, hitting on one of the guys. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
I don't know where they find these people with MTV, but I'm glad they do.
They do a phenomenal screening process. They really do. So anyway, if you missed that, and you probably did if you're up right now, we do have highlights of that coming up for you just after 6 o'clock this morning. We'll also talk to our friend Harvey the Hammer Levin from TMZ.com. They have been right on top of a story that has really broken big this week about Priscilla Presley's face and why she looks so bad. I don't know if you've seen her, even if you don't watch Dancing with the Stars, but even if you've seen her, you know, interviewed or commercials for it or something like that. How do you describe it? She looks like she's been badly beaten, and her face is just hanging on. I mean, it's...
but just barely?
Badly beaten and then, like, laminated. Like, it's shiny and way too smooth, but, yeah, like Bean said, but also abused.
Well, that's... Yeah.
And it turns out that some... Well, Harvey will tell us, but there's some sort of sketchy doctor from Argentina who was injecting industrial-grade silicone into their faces or something.
Oh,
like
industrial-grade?
Just the weirdest thing. It's one of these deals where you have a party and he comes to your house and injects all your friends with this stuff. It's supposed to be better than Botox, he said, and he's just in a world of trouble right now. And,
I got news for you. That's not a party. You know?
No.
Somebody shows up with a needle and says, I'll poke you in the face? You go, no.
Yeah.
No thanks.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's not the kind of poking in the face that makes a party in our estimation, I'll tell you that. What about Floyd Mayweather on the Kevin and Bean show
today? How about that? Been talking about this for a long time. He's going to be wrestling in the WWE, which is odd.
Yeah. What a payday. I haven't read up on it since I first saw the story a few months ago, but apparently he's making like $20 million or something crazy like that for one night's work. I mean, it's unbelievable how much he's making, but he's probably going to die if you've seen the size of this guy he's in the ring with. So,
yeah, but it's choreographed. He's not going to die.
Well,
you're UFC.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, so Floyd on the show today. Always enjoy catching up with him. The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, coming in today.
Very excited, doing his Hooters gig in Vegas. Got
Ralph
the band badly
the
beat and laminated in the studio today.
No, they're
performing
very good.
Live.
Kevin, you'd be happy to know we saved this till you got back, because I know you love Caltech men's basketball. One of the losingest records in sports history. We got your coach on. Roy Dow is going to join us today.
They got guys that have not ever played basketball before now. So no high school, no grade school, just happened to be there. Too smart for their own good. Not athletic. Haven't won a conference game, I think, since the 80s.
That's how you field a team, though. That's perfect. That's ideal. And what kind of a guy does it take to be a coach and get out there, you know, wake up every day and go, all right, today's the day.
All right, guys, we only lost by 60 points. That's a win in my book.
Now, I guess they made a documentary about this team, and you saw it? Is that the
– I don't know how I saw this story. I just caught my eye that they had lost for so long. And yet they were still – every year they'd go out there and play basketball. Maybe it's time to fold up the program. Maybe Caltech isn't where you want your basketball players coming from.
I just – especially working on this show, I just got to respect people who lose that badly all the time and still get up the next day. I just
– Right,
I'm going to root for them.
At some point, shouldn't you move on and do something else, you know?
Well, maybe. Maybe so. The beautiful Kate Bosworth on the program today
from
a movie I know you're going to go see this weekend called 21.
Very excited about that.
All about beating the house in Vegas. I know you're excited about that.
Yep.
Mike is actually going to do a rare hosting duty today on the Kevin and Bean show. Mike, how much do you hate the Hills? Let's start with that.
If you've ever seen Taxi Driver, where he comes to the conclusion that he needs to start cleaning up the city, that's the point I've come to with the hills. I watch this and I say, this is going on here in Los Angeles in my backyard.
Right.
It's time to clean up the filth.
But why do you watch?
I can't not watch.
Can't tear yourself away?
I don't know. It's like the drug I've learned to love to hate. I can't stop.
All right.
Well, Kevin, you can't turn your back on if an old lady is getting beaten up in the alley behind your house. You can't just look the other way. At some point, Mike's saying you've got to get involved, and I think he's at that point right now.
And I've fully admitted that I've loved this show, even though I hate it.
He has. He comes in and talks about it a lot.
But yeah. I think this season, just from the season premiere, I might be off. It's gotten to the point where now they're just teasing me. Now they're just saying, ha, let's see what we'll make you watch.
Okay, but at the same point, this entire time you've kind of hated it. Now you hate it more, and yet you're still going to go
now,
back.
Now it's over the top horrible with it's giving me nothing back. There's no like positive. There's nothing.
Isn't How Hot Whitney Is, isn't that a positive?
It would be if you didn't have to look at the horribly disfigured Heidi, who is unrecognizable now with
she sure is.
With her carnauba wax lips and her monstrous bosoms. And teeth like Baron Davis. F her.
Well, a recap of the new season of The Hills coming up on the show today. And the Internet Roundup. We got a bunch of great new stuff that we can't wait to unveil for you. Including yesterday, one that was shot right here in the studio in the 6 o'clock hour, Kevin. Yesterday, Beer Mug decided that he could beat that record of 103 peeps that the guy ate at the Great Peep Off this year in 30 minutes.
Why would he try that?
And later on, we'll tell you how that went, and you'll have a chance to see the video up at KROQ.com. So we'll tell you about all of that stuff. Plus, I think we'll check in with the great Bob Dylan about his satellite radio show today. Bob Dylan's got a new episode he's going to debut for us.
Always exciting. Never understand what he says, but always exciting.
Exactly.
Take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Ralph joins us. Good morning, Ralph.
And we found out, Kevin, surprisingly yesterday, that Eddie Vedder, it's a stand-up tour.
Doing comedy.
He's doing comedy now.
Yeah. Well, you can see that coming.
Apparently he's been inspired by Carrot Top. He does a lot of prop humor. It's like, hey, it's a cell phone. It's like a big paramecium, you know, holding a phone. It's wacky and hilarious.
He's always been wacky.
Yeah.
That's one thing you can say about our friend Ed.
They call him Good Times Eddie. Are you ready for Act 2 in the Britney Spears life drama? Everyone's saying now? She's on her way back. Here comes the big comeback. Brace yourself for the big comeback.
That wasn't her CD? That's not what that was about?
No.
Blackout or whatever?
They say, you know, mere weeks ago, she was speaking in an insane British accent.
Right.
Banging the paparazzi and being hauled off to psych wards. Now, insiders say she is regularly seeing her children in, you know, visits that are supervised.
Sure.
And she's back to work. Most recently with her impressive appearance on How I Met Your Mother.
It's Britney, bitch.
Yeah.
Critics and audiences alike are saying she did a great job, and if it was a stunt casting move by CBS to get people to watch How I Met Your Mother, it worked. 10.6 million viewers tuned in to see the episode.
What does that show normally get?
About half that.
Ooh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Hey, it worked for me. God bless our friend Allison, but I don't watch it. I tuned in that night, though.
So this is it, the big comeback. She's healthy, she's tanned, she's rested, she's ready.
Yeah, we were told this just before the MTV Awards, remember?
Oh, that's right. Never mind.
Although, the difference now from then, I think, is that, you know, her dad seems to be really keeping tabs on her. I mean, he really does seem to be calling the shots and pulling the strings and you know, kind of making her, forcing her to clean up. But he can't stay forever.
Imagine that, a father getting involved in their kids' lives.
But at this point...
Too late!
at this point, she doesn't have to listen or do anything they say.
Look, if it is seriously some sort of disorder that she needed meds for, it's possible if they medicate her properly, she could get back on the horse, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. But, yeah.
Meanwhile, Jamie Lynn, the other effed up Spears, People Magazine is reporting that she has a new accessory she's been carting around these days, a big fat engagement ring from her boyfriend and supposedly baby daddy, Casey Aldridge.
Haven't they both denied that he was the father? Wasn't there some time?
He denied. She never said.
He denied. Okay.
But apparently he's willing to marry her anyway. Because, you know, when you're 16 and your girlfriend's pregnant, that's what you want to do.
Oh, no. She's a whore.
Sources say she's been flashing the ring around Kentwood, Louisiana, her hometown. But an official wedding date has not been announced. Reportedly, a shotgun was included with the ring when he purchased it. So, sounds like it's a good deal all around.
That girl's fat.
Sad news. Oprah has lost her best friend of 13 years.
That girl's fat.
Gail?
No, her Cocker Spaniel, Sophie.
Doesn't she have like 30?
Yes. Sources at Harpo Productions tell Celebrity Dog Watcher.
There's no Celebrity Dog Watcher.
There
no, there's
is.
Not.
Get him on the phone.
Editor-in-Chief, Lisa May.
It's a magazine or a TV show? What is it, Ralph?
How do you not know this, B?
Oh, he
How
knows.
Do
He's
you
just
not
acting
know?
Like he doesn't. I have no idea.
I've never heard of your strange Celebrity Dog Watcher.
Tell me more about that.
Ooh,
I don't know anything about it.
Bean I'm has just a... an unfrozen caveman DJ.
Bean has a regular column in that magazine, I'm sure.
I'm so fat.
I have no idea. I'm assuming it is a website, because I can't imagine they could print up enough to sell that anybody would want to buy. But apparently sources at Harpo Productions are saying everyone is feeling the loss since the pooch was truly part of the family. Apparently the dog was not feeling well for some time. Oprah's pantry went empty and nature took its course. She scarfed it down in 4 bites, they claim.
Oprah, nopra.
That's what I'm saying.
Nopra. That girl's fat.
Ashley Tisdale is denying the fact that she had 2 nose jobs and a boob job. No, she just had the 1 nose job, she says. She's in Utah working on High School Musical 3, and she told a reporter, "Does it look like I had breast augmentation to you? No, it's ridiculous. I'm not for plastic surgery."
What?
How do you explain that, your nose disappearing?
First of all,
I'm not going to get another surgery, I can promise you that.
You can't get a nose surgery and then say you're not for it.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Priscilla Presley also saying she's not for plastic surgery, but she is for industrial-grade lubricant being injected
Dude.
Into her face.
That's true! That's a good observation.
Yeah.
That's not a good look.
Do you ask the doc what he's got in the syringe before the party starts at your house?
Tells him it's illegal in the United States. And they got to pay cash. That, to me, is the 1-2 sign of goodness.
But it's great stuff. Jiffy Lube swears by it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah. Apparently, speaking of Priscilla Presley, who, of course, is over there on Dancing with the Stars. Penn Jillette didn't have enough magic in his moves to last the season. He was booted off last night. And Monica Seles also got the cut.
Oh, they let 2 of them go.
Yeah, so Penn Jillette and Monica Seles will no longer be Dancing with the Stars. Remarkably, Adam Carolla is still in the race.
Is he still on the program?
That is shocking.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, these were the first cuts, right, Ralph?
That's true.
These 2?
Yes. And you know, the first cut is the deepest.
I've heard that.
That's what they say. Ugh. Watch American Idol last night?
No.
Oh, yeah. Kevin, you missed out.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't miss anything.
You missed it.
It's the same show.
No, it is
they
not.
They sing bad songs.
Incorrect.
And then one of them insults them. And then the other one says, hey.
Wrong, sir.
I'm going to take you home. And then the other one says, dog.
I'm concerned for Chiquizzi. He had a rough one last night. However, Brooke Wright, she sang a police song, Every Breath You Take. She did a good job, I thought. And my Carly Smithson, my Irish broad, she sang Total Eclipse of the Heart. That rocked.
Kevin, you understand that there's a television show on where you can watch teenagers sing Lee Greenwood's God Bless the USA.
See,
that's what I'm talking about.
You understand that
bitch.
That exists?
This whore has been in the bottom of the voting every week. This Christy Lee Cook whore.
Your favorite contestant, by the way, Ralph. The one that you've loved since Hollywood.
No, I loved her in the first audition show when she was smoking hot and said she was an MMA fighter. Then I loved her. But then the minute I started watching her sing regularly, I got less and less in love.
Mm. Versus, she's not good.
Versus Catherine McPhee, by the way, who I got more and more in love with the more I saw her perform. But this girl, she's basically a catalog model. She looks great, but she's got nothing going on. So she's been struggling, bottom, almost booted off every week. And she's from some effed up country place, wherever they sing country music, it's all
Oregon,
effed up.
She's
most
from.
Of the South. Usually not Oregon.
Oregon there, too. Like, she's got some horse farm she lives on. So she's been struggling. But the only thing that's keeping her in is because all the other country effs keep calling up the phone lines and keeping her on the show because she's the only country girl on the show.
Sure.
Well, last night she breaks out, God bless America, I love the USA. And I was like, you pandering whore.
Yeah.
In a time of war, you will capitalize on that by singing, I'll fight for God bless the USA, we're the best country, stick my American boot up your foreign ass.
Well, they should send her over on the front lines then.
That's what I think. Send her on a USO tour and take her off the goddamn American Idol.
Because now, if you don't vote for her, you're some sort of communist, right?
You're a traitor. Either with us or you're against us.
You guys, you say you love the show, you come in every day, you're complaining every single show.
Good, though. Get your passions up. Get your blood burling. You know what I'm saying?
Because it blows.
You got to get that blood burling.
I like it. It's a hit. I think I'll keep watching it.
Anyway, the reason I bring this all up is, did you know they've got Idol Camp for kids?
Oh, I have seen that, yeah.
If you've got a kid between 10 and 15 and you think they're an idol in the making, You send them to idle camp now.
Can I just jump in front of this and say to the parents listening, your kids are not idols in the making. Don't send them.
No, they are. And they need to be mentored by former idols.
Oh, no.
This is the staff at idol camp this year.
Sounds like the worst of everything.
Bo Bice, who is a failed contestant on that show. Ace Young, an equally failed contestant. Ace Young was the guy who would... He was, like, looking to the camera. He was a pretty boy. He would, like, look into the camera and, like, motion to all the girls out there in the audience. He was hideous. Kimberly Caldwell from season two.
Okay.
Yeah. Who was smoking hot. But now her job consists of hosting a show on the TV Guide channel where she talks about the kids who are currently on American Idol.
Wow.
And Anthony Fedorov.
Who's that? I didn't recognize that name.
Some commie who was on the show. So they all are participating in Idol Camp. Get your applications in before April 18th at idolcamp.com.
This is f***ing retarded.
For your young idols from 10 to 15. And they take them there and they make them, you know, run through tires and swing on monkey bars.
I don't think that's what they do.
They can crawl in the mud.
Train for the army.
Target shoot.
Like, take a rifle apart and put it back together blindfolded.
While singing.
Yeah, so. American Idol blows.
There's nothing good about that show.
Dude,
nothing.
I want to go to Idol Camp.
I want you to make the other contestants cry. That's the only thing that would be good.
I was bored to tears.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays. We gotta go long.
You got a long list?
A lot of them?
It's an ass full. I've never seen so many celebrity birthdays of legitimate celebrities on one day having their birthday. Actor Leonard Nimoy, Kevin's good friend.
Really?
Who, of course, legendarily played Mr. Spock on the TV series and in the motion pictures of Star Trek.
And then put out a photo book of women that were 400 plus.
He is also a fine artist who is a photographer and does varying subject matter, including
400 plus
large women
nude,
who he found to be a fascinating subject and Kevin found unacceptable for him to take photos of.
I didn't know if I would do her justice. I didn't want to make fun of her. I didn't want to ridicule her in any way. I wanted to do her justice and do a decent job.
Didn't know if you had a wide enough angle lens.
Oh, stop it, Kevin.
What was that?
77-year-old man was going to kick your ass.
Working right there.
Hey, I'm not the one that's showing 400-pound women nude. That's not me.
This has been the Leonard Nimoy disaster on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Actor Alan Arkin. How good was he in Little Miss Sunshine? Played the grandfather in
Fantastic.
That, of course. Soon to be seen in the new Get Smart movies, playing the chief to Steve Carell's Agent 99 in that movie. He's 74. James Caan, one of the original movie badasses, is 68 years old today.
That's a different thing.
Diana Ross turned 64. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 60.
Damn.
Actor, comedian, legend Martin Short turns 58 years old today. Jennifer Grey turns 48. Michael Imperioli from The Sopranos turns 42. James Iha from Smashing Pumpkins is 40 years old today. Actor T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy turns 35. One of our favorites, the beautiful and talented Amy Smart, actress from Felicity and Road Trip. She is 32. Keira Knightley turns 23 years old today. And rapper Jaquan.
Oh, Jaquan.
Jaquan celebrates his 22nd birthday. How's that for a list of birthdays?
You should spread some of those over the week.
No doubt. I could use some of these.
It's No Doubt's birthday?
Oh, Gilligan, we'll never get off this island. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thank you, Gianna. It is 25 minutes after 6 now. It's time to go to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com with all the latest info. I guess they're still getting him on the phone.
All right.
But we got to talk to him about Priscilla Presley and what's going on with the industrial-grade lube that they're shooting up her face with. That's not a good plan.
It's funny because when Dancing with the Stars, the new season, debuted a couple of weeks ago, Lisa May came in the next day and she said, oh my God, what is going on with her face? And we just kind of wrote it off to, you know, she's the latest, you know, 60-something starlet who just had too much plastic surgery. But apparently, thanks to Harvey and our friends over at TMZ.com, apparently it is much more serious than that. And there's an investigation going on, and apparently she's not the only one who's kind of been victim to this quote-unquote doctor. And it's good stuff. And man, if we had Harvey, whoo, would we be asking him about it?
We would ask him the hell out of that question.
We would talk to him so much about that interesting topic, I'll tell you that.
Okay, there he is. Hey, Harvey.
Morning, guys. Morning,
Lisa
May.
Morning.
Harvey, we were just setting up for our listeners Priscilla Presley, and it's hard for us to describe to people who have not had the benefit of seeing her with their own eyes yet how bad she looks. But how would you describe to people what's going on with her face?
Well, her people are saying
it ain't that bad. But when you look, I mean, clearly something's going on there.
How do our people fight the fact that we look at her and go, oh?
Well, you look. I mean, come on. You not enough moves on that face. And what's happened is she is kind of quietly going to a pretty prominent cosmetic surgeon to correct some horrendous work that was done by this crazy scam gigolo phony doctor who infiltrated Hollywood. And I'm telling you guys, this is an astounding story that people in Hollywood got duped by this guy.
Now, this guy was a real doctor in Argentina?
Real doctor in Argentina, a nurse in the United States. And what he did was he was a good-looking guy who somehow got in with a lot of the Hollywood women for the most part and charmed them and convinced them that he could smuggle in this drug that a lot of big models were using in Paris. And the drug wasn't available in the U.S., but it was better than Botox. It was all natural, and it was just this miracle wrinkle remover. And he would inject it in their faces, and they would have these injection parties at their houses. Larry King's wife, Sean, literally, you're going to love this. Larry is downstairs watching sports.
Yeah.
And Sean, his wife, is bringing all these women upstairs into her bedroom where there's this lounge chair, and this doctor is there injecting all these people with this drug.
That is not a party I want to be at, is a party where you get injected with stuff in your
face.
What
I'm thinking. And you know, this drug, now get this, it wasn't all natural. This is silicone that's used to lubricate auto parts in Argentina.
Yes, yes.
Now, Harvey, let me ask you this. As crazy as it sounds to have a quote-unquote doctor come to your house and administer a medical procedure, in Hollywood, the girls still do have Botox parties. I mean, that is fairly commonplace, right?
Yeah, but see, here's the deal. This is how far people will go to find youth. And they're grasping on and listening. And just anybody with a good line where somebody comes in and says, you know, like a star says, oh, my God, I found this doctor. He's the best doctor in the world. They're like lemmings. And everybody follows.
Sure.
So this guy, you know, Lionel Richie got injected. His wife got injected. All these people were getting injected. And it was causing lumps. And people were drooling. And then
he promised. That explains Larry. He promised. Yeah, by the way, they should have injected Larry, the Sharpay of TV hosts, with some of that crap.
Larry wasn't into it.
Oh, all right.
Hey, Harvey, I watched your show yesterday when you were talking about this, TMZ Television, of course, weeknight 6:30, Channel 11. And you said that part of this guy's rap was that it was popular on the runways of Paris, that there were models over there that had been using it, and that's part of how they look so good. First of all,
right,
those models are like 22, okay? But second of all, did he make that up whole cloth, or did he really have some experience where it had been effective in other people in France or someplace else?
Oh, no. I'm telling you, this guy, I will give you a name, and then I'm going to quickly say she did not get it, as far as we know. But he is a huge name dropper, and he kept mentioning Cindy Crawford, but we called her people, and they say absolutely never got this injection, and I believe it because this guy was just a scammer. And by the way, he went to prison. He went to federal prison. He got out last week. He served 18 months for smuggling this drug in, which was obviously not FDA approved.
Wow.
And Lionel Richie's wife, who was also holding these injection parties, she was actually indicted, a federal indictment, and charged. And she plea bargained this, but they ended up finding like $2 million in a safe deposit box that was connected to both of them in cash, by the way.
Wow, yeah, that doctor only took cash. That's a good sign, right?
There was one woman who, I mean, literally, she got injected, and he wouldn't take her check. And it's this really powerful woman who's got, like, all this money, and she has to go to the bank when she's all shot up to go to the ATM and get cash.
Wow. I like some cash.
Now, are there going to be, now that he's out of jail on the smuggling or illegal importing, whatever the charge was, are they now going to go after him for practicing medicine in this country without a license, for instance?
Well, I think it's going to be more serious than that. I'm guessing this guy is going to be deported because he committed a crime. And
that crime is turning Priscilla Presley into China. That's the crime. That's not acceptable.
Oh, gosh.
Right?
I'm not.
Who's with me?
No, she does. She looks very much like China. That's
she
a really
does.
That's a very astute observation, Kevin.
Thank
you're right
you.
About that. So you'll continue to follow this. By the way, Harvey, while we're talking about doctors, and I know you got to go to your morning meeting right now, whatever happened to the doctor that you guys had so much material on that you broke the story of, the doctor who was involved in that plastic surgery that happened just before Kanye West's mom died? Remember he had that crazy appearance on Larry King where he wouldn't talk? Did he get away scot-free? Did they finally determine that he didn't have anything to do with her death?
Well, they're saying that, you know, it was, it's Jan Adams, and I think they were saying that it was a heart attack and they couldn't connect it necessarily, but, you know, he went on TV and started saying, look, I've been vindicated. I don't think it was a vindication, but
he just didn't get caught.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know ultimately, you know, if the medical board is going to do anything, what's going to happen. If he did get free, you never know because they're very secretive about what they do.
One other story in TMZ.com is Velvet Revolver frontman Scott Weiland, according to your site, Harvey, last Thursday night in Glasgow, Scotland, said, hey, you guys are watching something special, the very last tour by Velvet Revolver.
You believe it?
I don't know. I know. I know
you
that he's at times difficult to get along with for bandmates. Seems like they get along well. Do you know that for a fact?
No, you guys know more about that stuff than me.
Yeah, but okay. he reportedly said that on stage. So who knows
right.
if he was just frustrated or whatever.
You know, exactly. Cher's been saying that for 45 years.
Yeah, well, yeah.
That's a great point. All right, it's the best goddamn half hour on television, 6:30 weeknights, Channel 11, and, of course, round the clock at TMZ.com. Always a treat to catch up with our friend Harvey Levin.
Guys, since I'm really shameless, can I tease the show tonight?
Yeah, sure.
Of course, yeah, what do you got?
Thanks. You know Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, yeah.
You know this whole thing about, these professionals are really helping all of these amateur dancers and, you know, they're just working with them and all this stuff.
I know that's the storyline. I don't watch the show, but, yeah.
It ain't what it seems.
What does that mean?
What does that mean? It means watch the show.
Well, I don't want to watch the show. I'll watch your show. Yeah, I'll watch your show. I don't want to watch that show.
No, my show.
Okay, all right. Your show. Tonight, 6:30.
It's a really good story.
All right, fantastic. Thank you, Harvey.
Okay, guys.
Always great.
Our friend Bob Dylan on the line with us right now. Of course, he is the host of a satellite radio theme time radio hour show, I think it's called. Bob, do I have that right? Is that the name of the show?
The Kenchi Time Old Timey Theater Comedy Hour.
I don't think that's it either. I think we both got it wrong. Theme Time Radio Hour sounds right to me.
Happy Were you Time Lemonade Social Hour.
Bob, I know it's been a while since we've asked you this question, but you are a rock and roll legend who already has a job as a musician. You're on the road all the time. Why are you doing this silly radio show every week?
Because doing radio is easy.
Well, that's true.
They pay a lot of money just talking to the microphone like an a-hole.
All right. Now, Bob, you're not still picking a theme and then playing songs and telling stories about it.
Oh, yeah. Every week, pick a theme and talk to the songs and the themes.
I don't know what you just said, but what is this week's theme, Mr. Dylan?
Oh, well, this week's themes.
This week's theme is themes?
No, ring.
Ring.
Spring.
Sing. Spring.
Sing.
Right now, the first time.
Ring.
Kevin was right. No. He said spring?
No. Oh, crap.
Theme was the first thing I said.
No, after that.
Spring.
Yeah.
Spring.
Okay, all right. Well, last week was the start of the new season. Sure,
yeah.
It's spring.
Spring.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, what kind of songs are you playing this week? Songs about spring?
Yeah, songs have to do with spring. Like this one by Stevie B.
Bob, did you say Stevie B? Wasn't he like a dance artist from the 80s or something? See, Bob,
you're playing that. Spring love.
See, Bob, here's the problem with themes, is that when you say spring, it sounds great, but then when you have to pull songs that have spring in them, you got to go back to Stevie B, and that's embarrassing.
It says spring love.
Yeah, it does have the name in it.
It's the spring.
Right?
Yeah. And then I was out.
Then you're out.
That
yeah.
was the only one?
There were no other spring songs?
So I had to get creative, stretch a little bit.
Okay.
No one wishes I had
Oh, I see.
Jesse's.
Because it's Rick Springfield is one.
Oh, Rick Springfield.
Well, that has nothing to do with Sprig, but...
It's Vinky.
But, Bob, don't you say, hey, looks like a good theme, but we're out of songs after Stevie B. Maybe we should pick something else.
Nope.
Didn't say that.
Ebenezer!
USA! Spring. Steam, yeah, sure. It's really more about the Vietnam War than it is maybe the change of seasons, Bob.
Bob, are you...
Bob, it's over. It's over. Sucks over.
Are you ever afraid that by singing along with these songs, now we don't understand the words that we used to understand?
All right, we got that one. We got that. We got Stevie B, Rick Springfield, Bruce Springsteen. We got it.
You know what I'm saying?
What?
What?
The offspring. Offspring, right?
Sure, not much of a theme, but... What?
Offspring.
Offspring. Right. Offspring. Offspring, sure. Okay.
Alright, we don't know what you're saying at all.
These were spring. I found one more spring song.
One more spring song.
One more.
Springtime for Hitler, really?
Yeah. Good old Hitler.
Well, sorry. I don't know if you want to say that, Bob.
Yeah.
So that's from the producer's musical, and you put that on your show.
Yeah.
Bob, did you say good old Hitler?
Good old Adolf.
That's what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's maybe not the best thing to say.
Springtime.
Yeah, it's Springsteen. Yeah. All right, Bob. Bob.
That's fine. Thanks to the Hitler comment, this could be the last theme time radio hour, though.
All right, Bob.
Bob, we got to go. We got to go, Bob. Thank you.
Oops, sorry.
Oh, some peeps what came was up. That?
Some peeps from yesterday.
Oh, still?
From needing some peeps.
Between 8 and 9 o'clock this morning, by the way, be listening for the Red Hot Blazin' Party Anthem, Yellow Ledbetter. When you hear it, be caller 20. Win tickets to go see Eddie Vedder on stage at the Wiltern. Two big sold-out nights. And you're qualified for the drawing we do Friday to send you to see Pearl Jam in NYC. It's 6:57. Floyd Mayweather after the news. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday morning.
When Mayweather gets here, I'm going to square off with him, and I'm going to show him how it's done, how pugilism is actually perfected. Mr. Pound-for-Pound, greatest fighter in the world.
He's not going to be in here. He's going to be on the phone.
I see how it is. Coward. Yeah. I see how he is.
Yeah, he's afraid
of
you.
Lucky. He's lucky. That's all I got to say. He's lucky he's not going to be in here.
Oh, I know.
So I don't have to teach him a thing or two or three or four.
We'll play him the tape. Don't worry.
What? Ah, after hearing Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
Heard you guys talking to Bob.
That was bad.
Singing Born in the USA.
It's a bad, bad show.
It led me to this little piece of information I saw this morning. Couldn't help but think about it. Star Magazine's reporting that Jessica Simpson is going to be doing a cover version of Born in the USA by Bruce Springsteen.
That's the best. What are you talking about? No. That's the best thing I've ever heard.
It gets better. It gets better. She's going to be backed up by her sister Ashley and Ashley's boyfriend Pete Wentz. Oh,
and yes, please.
It's not good.
Jessica Simpson is doing it so that all the proceeds can go to help injured soldiers. While I appreciate Jessica Simpson's intent,
the thought,
in this,
sure.
When will people finally realize that Born in the USA is a song about a guy who got totally screwed by the military and by the United States government?
I don't think I knew that, even to this day, because I don't pay attention to lyrics and I'm not a big Springsteen fan.
It's a big sort of.
How about that?
It's a big sort of. Anthem for all the guys who got screwed.
I got
Vietnam
effed by the country.
Came back and got nothing and lost their homes and couldn't get a job and they went and served their country and they got screwed in the end. Sort of a big protest song by the boss.
Where else do you get screwed? You know,
not really so much a pro USA anthem.
That's funny.
Right. So that, although I appreciate her sentiment, I think she may have picked the incorrect song for that purpose.
Can you imagine? Just in your head, picture what that will sound like.
It will be horrendous. It will make us long for Bob Dylan's version.
Yeah.
But it'll be awesome horrendous. I mean, I can't wait. That's going to be terrible.
Apparently only be available for download, and all the proceeds will go to help injured soldiers. So, look, I'm all for that, so whatever it takes. But I can't imagine they're going to make much money with no. Jessica Simpson singing Born in the USA.
Just the smell is unbearable.
Yeah, you're right.
That's true.
More political showbiz news. I had no idea this was happening, but it's going to be a bloodbath, in the words of the legendary Kroenke. Oliver Stone is making a film called W.
Yes, about George W. Bush?
About President George W. Bush.
I'm sure it'll be very flattering.
Yeah. It's going to be awesome. If I was George W. Bush now, I would just go and beg him not to make this movie. Please.
I will pay you whatever it takes.
Whatever it takes. I've got lots of money. I've borrowed some money from Cheney. He's got a lot of Halliburton money I can get my hands on.
I can have it printed in the next year.
Please don't do this.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll be even-handed and fair. But
of course.
Sure. Perhaps not the most flattering film. Josh Brolin apparently has been tapped to play G-Dub in the film.
Oh, all right.
Begins shooting in April. And Elizabeth Banks, one of my crushes,
yeah,
will be playing Laura Bush. Laura Bush has never looked so good, by the way,
yeah,
as played by Elizabeth Banks. So there's your cast for the upcoming new film about George W. Bush.
That's going to be great.
That's going to be a hatchet
job. It's not a movie that really needs to be made at all.
I've just lived through it for 8 years. I don't need to go watch it for another two.
It's fresh enough in our minds.
Sheryl Crow's joining Fleetwood Mac. Did you hear that?
What?
How odd is that?
Fleetwood Mac is still alive?
Well, barely. They lost Christine McVie, their singer-keyboard player. She walked out of the group in 1998. But
didn't she sing most of the songs?
No, it was the Witch.
Oh, the one Witch.
Stevie Nicks,
the goat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sheryl Crow will be joining to play and sing with Fleetwood Mac for a new album and tour.
Really? Kind of semi-permanently?
Well, at least for one album.
Huh.
She announced it to Spinner.com. The only one who was surprised by the announcement was band guitarist Lindsey Buckingham. Said he didn't know anything about it. He said, we've been talking about sometime bringing someone else to replace Christine, but I didn't know it had been made official.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
So he said, well, could be a great idea. You'd think he'd want to go to the band meetings or something when they made that decision.
Yeah, sure.
Denise Richards going for Mom of the Year Awards. She recently threw a party for her four-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
The theme was spa.
Spa?
It was a spa birthday party where all the little girls got their hair styled.
No.
Whore!
And each little kid had a bathrobe with his or her name on it.
Whore!
Sounds like the worst birthday party for a four-year-old ever.
It sounds like she wanted to be in the other room getting a massage.
How about a pony or a clown or some balloon animals or something?
Something fun.
I really don't need Dermapeel and, a good steam. I'm four.
My skin's fine.
I'm fine, really.
Wow.
I don't need the salt sea scrub.
That's just not good.
I'd like some cake.
Can you imagine being
hurt? Instead of cucumber slices.
Who's your whore?
Hot herbal tea. Spa birthday theme. That blows.
That does blow.
On behalf of the four-year-old, I'd like to tell you, Denise Richards, you suck. Your child's going to hate you forever.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
Maybe next year for five, Denise will have her accountant over and they'll do some taxes.
tax day theme.
Whore!
You know, the Lindsay Lohan sex tape proved to be a hoax. It was not, in fact, the case. However, the London Sun newspaper says that Lindsay may have believed that the actual sex tape had surfaced on the internet.
What?
Indicating there may actually be one.
Oh, they looked at her reaction and said, oh, maybe there is one.
When news broke about the Lindsay Lohan sex tape on the internet, according to sources with the London Sun newspaper, she had a screaming, livid phone conversation with her ex-boyfriend Callum Best.
Which means it exists. She's worried it'll get out and it needs to.
Sources say they overheard her screaming leaving profanity-laced voicemails for Callum Best, saying she couldn't believe he would do this to her and she never should have trusted him.
Okay, explain the pink.
So, Lindsay Lohan.
Let's hope we'll see that real one sometime soon.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah.
And George Clooney's better than you.
Yeah, true. We know that. That's a given.
Yes, he is. He's better
than
you.
What do you mean, nope, Mike?
Whatever.
He's way better than you.
He's better than anybody.
He's better looking. He's more talented. He's nicer. He's cooler. He's richer. He's more famous. He's got everything that you don't.
Wrong.
How do you...
Continue.
Anyway, George decided to premiere his new movie, Leatherheads, about the beginnings of the NFL.
Looks funny.
It does look. Looks very good. He and his co-star Renee Zellweger and the rest of the cast and crew headed down to Mayville, Kentucky, a small town near where George Clooney grew up, where he was born, yeah. And decided to have their premiere there instead of someplace in New York or Los Angeles. He said he wanted to give the 3,000 or so residents of that neck of the woods a chance to see some of, you know, the fun that Tinseltown gets when they do one of these premieres. So he had it there instead of out here locally. That's pretty cool.
When's that come out?
Comes out in a couple weeks, I think. I think they are doing a Los Angeles premiere, actually, Monday night, I believe. And then it comes out the following week.
Fantastic.
But I'm really looking forward to that. And I want to give you a quick casting announcement in case you're looking to get into television or film yourself. You know, I like to mention these from time to time. This comes from MTV Casting. MTV is looking for women who are not so ladylike. Are you the life of the party? Can you drink most people under the table? Do you enjoy shocking people with your crass behavior? Is your attitude straining family relationships, preventing you from getting a quality boyfriend or landing a lucrative career? Well, MTV would like to talk to you.
It's called the next Jenny McCarthy. That's yes. Their search for the next Jenny
I was
McCarthy.
Thinking, is it every woman on every MTV show fit into this category, pretty much?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Already have That's Amore. What else do they need?
If you'd like to participate, you can be on the new MTV show. You can go to Lady Casting at the Cullen Company, C-O-N-L-I-N, CullenCompany.com, or you can contact me. I'll give you the information. But that's how you nominate yourself to be a disgusting whore on MTV.
I like it.
Jackpot.
Today's celebrity birthday is just almost too many to announce. I'm just going to burn through them because it's just a ton of people. Leonard Nimoy is 77. Alan Arkin is 74. James Caan turned 68. Steven Tyler of Aerosmith is 60. Martin Short, one of my favorite actor-comedians, is 58. Jennifer Grey is 48. Michael Imperioli of The Sopranos turns 42. James Iha of Smashing Pumpkins turns 40. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy is 35. Amy Smart is 32. Kieran Knightley turns 23 years old today. It's a good batch.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I forgot. Ernest Thomas from What's Happening is 59.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't want to leave him out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
More than 60,000 tickets have already been sold for an event. WrestleMania, for the first time ever, being held in the state of Florida. Of course, we won't be there, but it is available to us. WrestleMania 24 on pay-per-view. Contact your cable provider. It's a great, great lineup, not the least of which is because our friend Floyd Mayweather is on the bill, and you're not going to believe what he's got planned. Floyd, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, my friend?
Hey, how you doing?
Very good, thank you.
Good to talk to you again. You know, when you were in the Olympics a few years ago, becoming a medalist, you probably didn't think your future would include Dancing with the Stars and WrestleMania. Who could predict the way your life has gone?
I guess God is the only one that can predict the way my life, you know, has gone. But you know, it's a blessing just to be where I'm at. You know, a good team, and just we got a good chemistry. It's a good atmosphere, and we truly believe in the sky's the limit. And we truly believe if we set our minds to do certain things in life with hard work and dedication, it can get accomplished.
I've always thought that boxing would be the single worst sport as far as not dread, but like you have to train for so long. You have to pump yourself up for so long, and you don't really know what's going to happen when you get in the ring. So it's like, I don't know, it seems like a lot of preparation and very few payoffs.
Well, I'm just fortunate enough just to be one of the fighters or entertainers to make, you know, a great deal of money in the sport of boxing. But basically any field that I get involved with, you know, I truly believe that I'm a cash cow.
Well, that is true, and you're certainly proven that with this weekend.
If you put me on that big screen, I can promote. Who's a better promoter than I feel that I can sell myself better than anyone else can sell me.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Now, here's what's fascinating about you on WrestleMania this weekend, Floyd, is that you're at the peak of your career. You're 39-0. You're the Fighter of the Year this year, according to the Boxing Writers of America. Usually, the people do stuff like this, and forgive me for calling it a stunt, but usually people would do this WWE, you know, thing after they're already peaked, when they're not still valid in the ring as a boxer. But you seem to have them both going at the same time. Why now?
Just to show my versatility. You know, when you look at any other fighter, you say, oh, he's just a fighter. But when you see an entertainer like myself, you say, Floyd Mayweather, no, that kid's an entertainer. I mean, you know, just the wild costumes, the wild outfits,
the flashy, flashy, flamboyant, wild attitude. You know, I like to bring some different. I like to bring some different. I like to be different. We truly believe in just being outside the box. And most athletes are straight up and down with no special effects.
On the 24/7 show on HBO before the De La Hoya fight, were you kind of playing the bad guy? Because it looked like you were.
It's not me playing the bad guy. I mean, you know me. You look at me on the internet. I've never changed. And you look at guys like those guys. You see, they're a little different from Floyd Mayweather. You know,
yeah.
Floyd Mayweather is 100% all man. And he's dedicated to his work at whatever it is. If it's WWE, I'm gonna be at my best.
Now, son,
if it's boxing, I'm gonna be at my best. If it's Dancing with the Stars, I'm gonna be at my best. I always go out and just give 110% and love the support, you know, from the fans.
It's this Sunday night at 7 o'clock Eastern, o'clock our time.
It's this Sunday, and I want everybody that's listening right now to you guys' show because you guys have one of the best shows, you know, in the world. And I want everybody to tune in, buy pay-per-view. You must buy pay-per-view because, you know, my ultimate goal is just to be the best at whatever I do. And right now I'm involved with World Wrestling Entertainment, and I'm going to go out there and entertain Sunday.
Now you're talking about fighting Paul Big Show White, who is over 300 pounds heavier than you. This is his
440 exactly.
440. This is from some of his comments.
I weigh more than 300 pounds than you, then I'm going to guarantee that you never box again. So what do you have to say, you little runt?
And then you told him you'd break his jaw.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't really understand the WWE. You know, you first, you know, people tell you certain things. The WWE is this, it's not that. I mean, it's really the gets. You know, I punched him in the face. I broke his nose. He had two black eyes. It's wild. It's wild to entertain it. It's wild to entertain it, and that's something that I truly, truly like. And, you know, just like in boxing. Boxing is, you know, when you speak boxing, you're talking Floyd Mayweather. And, you know, I'm the only fighter that's out there that's versatile. Every other fighter is in a box.
But isn't boxing more real than WrestleMania?
Boxing is an entertaining sport.
Yeah.
Extremely entertaining. But wrestling is also entertaining. Two different audiences. But there's none that's bigger than the WWE. How much action?
Yeah, how much action will there be in your match with Big Show?
I don't know because we don't have this planned out, so I really don't know.
What's different about the rules in the wrestling world? What are you allowed to do in the ring against him?
I'm allowed to it's freestyle. You do whatever you want to do. It's a no holds bar match. So you know, I mean, and. You know, I'm a little nervous because this is a total different feel, but I truly believe that I'm trying to stay away from Big Show as much as possible.
Well, the one thing boxers
try to tire him out.
The one thing boxers do is they make you fight guys your own size. This guy's 440 pounds. That doesn't seem like a good match. He's 440 pounds, Floyd.
We know he got that big choke slam. Anything is possible. So I'm gonna try to stay away from that choke slam. He already threw me over the top rope.
And 50 Cent, your friend, is going to be there? Did I read that?
It's possible. We really don't know who's going to really be there this year, but it's going to be a lot of entertainment. I think this is going to be the biggest and the best WrestleMania of all time. I truly believe that from the bottom of my heart. So all the fans that's listening, and I want them to tune in and buy pay-per-view. This year we will break the number. Last year they told me Donald Trump was in it, but Donald Trump is straight up and down. We need a guy with special effects like Floyd Mayweather that can do it all.
Randy Orton, John Cena, Triple H, Edge versus The Undertaker, and Big Show versus Floyd Mayweather Sunday at 4 o'clock our time here on the West Coast. All right, Floyd, we appreciate you coming on with us. Thank you. Good luck.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Bobby Slayton, the pit bull of comedy, frequent guest on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, appearing at the Hooters Las Vegas Wednesday through Sundays, joins us back in the studios of the World Famous Kevin. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, first of all, it's weird to be in the studio without Ellie Mae, the traffic bro. Where is she?
Yeah, She's on vacation.
Ralph is here.
Ellie Mae gets vacation time every once in a while.
And by the way, so, you know, it's interesting. Before I come in here, you know, I'm sitting in the office and I like to glance through the papers. It's very depressing today. If you guys saw the front page of the LA Times, first of all, there's more trouble in Baghdad. And, you know, being an international superstar, a lot of people just country have this, you know, they decide, you know, am I a Democrat, a Republican, independent, a libertarian? But I, since I travel around the world, you know, I look at both the Sunnis and the Shiites, and one day I feel like I'm the Sunni side, one day I feel like I'm the Shiite side. Right. And it's almost like the Hutus and the Tutsis. You look at both programs, you don't know, they both have different things that they have to offer. I mean, in this country, we have the Crips and the Bloods. Of course, the Crips, we don't have better ammunition, but the Bloods have a much better dental program. So when you decide to join these groups, you got to make a decision which bumper sticker you're going to put in your car.
Right.
You
do research.
Very tough.
So
very
it's just
tough.
Very tough to read about what goes on in the Middle East, those Muslims. And they're not all bad people, because you can't judge a book by 800 million bad apples. So the last time I think I saw you guys was basically you were in Vegas.
Yep, we came to your show.
No, some of you came to my show.
I came to your show.
You came to my show. Kevin came to the show.
Yeah, everyone came to the show except for Bean.
Ellie
Mae came to the show.
But you don't expect Bean anywhere, do you? I mean, really.
But what's interesting, and Bean, you know, I've known you for a long time, but like in Vegas, you think that whatever it is, whether it's a comedy show, a nightclub, a strip club, gambling, he's out with his father, you know, going to the Sizzler, and then they go back for some hot chocolate, play
that's
a crazy game of Scrabble.
They do. That's really true.
That's good. Well, chess, really. We're more chess guys.
Are you chess people, really?
I'm sorry I missed your show. However, Ralph just saw the show again this past weekend. He was in Las Vegas. Had very, very high marks for the show when he came in on Monday morning, Bobby.
Well, that's nice. He had high marks. Good. I was worried about being judged. I was worried that if Ralph
held a paddle with a seven on it, Bob.
I was worried.
After each joke, he'd rate it.
That's right. I mean, so people don't like the show. I'm in Hooters. Where am I going from there? You know?
It's been a pretty successful run, though, hasn't it? You've been there for how long?
It's been great.
6 months?
It's amazing. I think when it's a year. April 15th is here.
Wow, so
and they just
no kidding. Wow.
Yeah, I know. It goes by fast.
I'm shocked that you're still there.
I'm shocked that you're still here, Bean. So we're all shocked at everybody's successes.
Bobby's especially happy because he's able to avoid his wife this way for much of the year.
Oh, I mean, I tell you that every time I come on the show. Yeah. It is so great that what happens is, I mean, my marriage has never been better. 20 years of marriage. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you, folks, what's amazing is here's how it basically works. And I think I've said this before on the show, is that, you know, I'm in Vegas 5 days out of the week, Hooters Casino, Wednesday through Sunday, 9 p.m. Okay. I had to plug the show. That's what I'm here for. But what's great is, so Wednesday morning, I come home Monday morning from Vegas, and my wife has a store in Santa Monica, so she's at work. And by the time she comes home from work, I've either made dinner like the good husband I am, and I make sure she has a couple glasses of wine to keep her calm. It's sort of like a lobotomy, you know, one flew over the cuckoo's nest.
But you leave it out and go watch TV, right?
By 9:30, 10 o'clock, she's fast asleep. I'm in my office playing my drums, watching porno. I go to bed. Tuesday, she goes to work. And then Wednesday morning, I come back to Vegas. We really see each other no more than 3-4 hours a week. And it has really made my marriage.
That's the key to a happy marriage?
Yes.
Sure.
But getting back to Ralph. So what's really cool is Ralph brings his parents to my show. And they had a great time, right?
They had a great time.
It's really interesting that, you know, when you think when you play Hooters Casino, it's going to be that Girls Gone Wild, chicken wings, rowdy college kids with those big stupid drinks.
Sure.
But what Hooters did was they thought by having my act in there, because it's for older people and mature people. It actually brought in older demographics. You know, you have these kids that are 21, 22, but you have, I swear to God, you know, because Vegas has a tremendous population of retired people. And they always get half-price tickets, sometimes free tickets. So a lot of them come into the show. And then they have these surveys where they write up the show. These old people having a great time. And
don't you talk way too fast for old people who can barely hear as it is.
Bean, you okay?
I'm tracking.
He's fine.
I called Bob and I said, we want to come see the show on Saturday night. He's like, are you sure your folks want to come see my show?
I don't think I would want to bring any of my relatives to see you. Maybe my brothers. But
well, no, I actually slow down a lot on stage. It's when I'm on the radio. Because what happens is when people laugh or don't laugh, usually they do laugh, you know, you have to give them time to laugh. And then, you know, I collect my thoughts and take a breath. On this show, I never know when it's going to go to a commercial. My time's up because one of the Foo Fighters has to come on.
What were you talking?
There you go. No, but the show is becoming, and people said my show is not fun for the whole family, but there you go. Ralph brought his parents. There's a case in point. Fun for the whole
family.
They
laughed their ass off.
I think anyone over five. Thumbs up for Bobby Slayton.
Bring the kids. Well, you know, he makes balloon animals, gives out hot dogs.
If I had a puppet and a tiger, I would rule Las Vegas.
You would, that's true.
Because on the strip now, it's so many shows. There's like 8 Cirque du Soleil shows. They're adding more. They have a Beatles one. They're doing an Elvis one.
Maybe you need to start doing calisthenics and all kinds of weird
contortions
and stuff.
You know, put on a unitard.
Yeah. Yeah. Paint your face red or whatever it is they do.
It's one of the few shows where it's just regular stand-up. I mean, Ralph, so the guy that opened up for me, he was great.
Yeah, he was.
The opening video is better than ever. I added more people.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, Rickles, all the celebrities talking about you.
Yeah, well, Rickles was great. He did it. You know, it's really nice. When I asked Don Rickles, and who else? Robin. I mean, every comic in the world.
Robin, by the way, is Robin Williams. Yes. To the rest of us.
And right. Carrot.
We don't know my first name.
Carrot Top. It's sure. Carrot Top. If I said Carrot, it's
not,
Mr.
It's
Top.
Not Carrot Leibowitz, the other comedian.
Right. But it was great. When Rickles did it for me, he, I don't know if you saw that special Mr. Warmth that he did for HBO.
Ralph did.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was in that for a minute.
Bean did.
Yeah, Rickles is really nice. He sent me a copy of it. If people haven't seen it, it's on. What am I plugging it for? I'm not getting anybody.
No, it's out on DVD now, and it right. really is a fantastic look at the world of comedy, and particularly the life and legend of this man, Don Rickles, who Ralph also saw this weekend, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah, Rickles is still great at 81.
Really Rickles, is. Slayton. Rickles, Slayton.
Well,
hold on, Bob. I'm talking to him.
Okay, Rickles is an icon, so you're sort of like, it's great to see him in person because you've watched him your whole life.
So better?
But I think Bobby is funnier. Like,
joke for joke,
like laughs per minute. You have more laughs than a Bobby Slayton.
Yeah, well, Rickles, first of all, always says he's not a stand-up comic. What he does, you know, he did develop a style of comedy that's, he's become a legend, which, by the way, hold that thought. I got a great story for you when we come back from the break.
Because we got a break soon.
Okay, it's a Kevin and Bean story. But anyway, Rickles really nice. After doing the special, he sent me a solid silver Tiffany pen. I guess he sent it to all the comedians in the documentary. And I thought that was really nice. And he sent me a copy of the show. Mm-hmm. So when he was in Vegas last week, I sent him a copy of my show with a Hooters pen. And I just said, look, I said, Don, I don't make as much money as you. And it's a thought that counts. You know, sure. I think he appreciates it.
Do your pens at least have a topless picture that they take off their top when you turn it over?
You would think that Hooters.
Yeah.
No. You know what? When I first got to Hooters, I was coming up with ideas for promotional items. And I said, you know, you've seen those pens. They have them in Times Square and all the gift shops.
Of course.
The girl either gets undressed or at least she has a bra on. Right. And, you know, you think that they would do that. But, no.
That's a shame.
It's a chicken wing with a ink stuck in it.
Bobby Slayton is here. He's at Hooters in Las Vegas Wednesdays through Sundays, and we will take a break and come right back.
In the studio is our friend Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, appearing Wednesday through Sunday nights at 9 at the Hooters Las Vegas, 21 and up. It's a great show. Hey, Bobby, two quick questions about Las Vegas.
Yeah.
One is, now that Penn Jillette has been on Dancing with the Stars, when are we going to see you on Dancing with the Stars, is number one.
You know, I don't say. Oh, God. You know what? I can't imagine doing those shows. You know, and people watch this crap. It's almost like American Idol.
A lot of people do.
I think more people vote for American Idol than they will vote for president. I think that's more important to the American public right now than who's Dancing with the Stars. Hey, but I don't want to make this whole show about me. Before I go on, I got to tell you guys one thing. Not that it means anything to your listeners, but May 29th at the Whiskey, my daughter Natasha Slayton, they called up and asked her to perform there. So she has a CD coming out. It's going to be
really
great.
Really? The mini Pitbull of music?
Yeah, she's amazing. She's a lot more talented than
she's
I am.
She's the poodle of music, I'm sure.
A lot more talented father, Natasha Slayton.
What kind of music does she do?
It's really kind of cool, popish kind of. I don't know, Sheryl Crow-ish. I can't describe it, but it's really pretty amazing.
Okay.
But of course, when the CD comes out, I will bring one by here.
Sure.
You know,
here's my second. Yeah, we'll look forward to that. Here's my second question for you about Las Vegas, though. Is you being out there without the family and being a big-time Hollywood star and famous entertainer, I would imagine there have to be Slayton groupies. There have to be women who come to the show who want to tear off a piece of the Bobby,
He's
right?
He's got a whole apartment.
And you work at Hooters.
What happens more often is guys come to the show and say, okay, but this is why I want to tell you guys. I've been doing the show for a long time. First time I did your show is probably almost, how long have you been together for, you two?
Since 1990.
Okay, so I think I did your show about 15 years ago. But anyway, some kid comes to my show. A lot of people say, I heard you on Kevin and Bean.
Right.
Not as many as on Seacrest show, but...
what do you expect? We
understand that, yeah.
Those are my people. A lot of people say, I heard that Kevin and Bean. So a guy comes to my show a few weeks ago. He's in his 20s, and he goes, I just want to let you know, man, hey, it's a thrill to see you. When I was a little kid, I used to hear you on Kevin and Bean, which of course makes me feel old. Sure. He goes, you're like a legend. I go, Rickles is a legend. I said, you know, Henny Youngman was a legend, you know, Richard Pryor, those were legends. I'm just a comic. He goes, no, well, you're headlining in Vegas. Hey, I mean, you're a headliner, you're a legend. So I go, okay, whatever, kid, thanks. And I give him a CD. But he called me a legend because I was on your show, and that's where he used to hear me. So I'm walking back to my room, and I'm thinking, I'm a legend, I'm a headliner. I turn on the TV, there's a show called Legends and Headliners. All week long, Ted Bundy, Son of Sam, John Wayne Gacy, the Hillside Strangler.
Sure, you're in that group.
So I feel like I'm a good company now.
Yeah.
Legends and Headliners.
So now you're happy about it.
How great is that?
All right, that's pretty strong.
I feel pretty cool about that. But anyway, so...
Ever get out in Vegas? Do you ever go see anything else, or do you just hang out and do your own thing?
Because you're not a gambler, right?
No, I don't do that. Okay, I don't gamble. I hate golf. I don't go to strip clubs. I basically, you know, I go to the gym. I walk around. I sit outside.
You're a funny bean.
I eat a lot. I have great restaurants. Going out to eat. Vegas now has some of the best restaurants ever. I mean, what do they have? They have, I mean, Bean would love it. They got the Olive Garden. They got the Sizzler.
All the good places.
Applebee's.
How do you not play, I don't know, poker or something?
Poker? I don't even know it.
Good night, folks. Good night.
No.
You know I can't not drink when I'm in Vegas, and I can't not gamble. Those are the
but
two
if you
things.
Lived there, if you were there as much as Bobby,
I would kill
you
myself.
Might. I don't know. I think it wouldn't be as enticing to you because you wouldn't have a limited number of hours to get it all in.
I would drink myself right into an early grade.
You know,
we all know it.
I just can't see going to Vegas with being sort of like going with a homo to the bunny ranch.
Look, I may not get the same things out of a visit to Las Vegas as you do, but I have a good time when I
go. I have tried in the past to take Bean to strip clubs and stuff.
You
but
know,
it's like he's trying to act like he's seen other people
he
act.
He stays in the room.
Right. Most of the room time when we go
reads
anywhere.
The internet. Yeah. That's what
I'm
he
not
does.
A big fan of the strip clubs myself, but you know, I mean, you know, there are some hot chicks that come to the show. I had a couple of porno stars. A lot of the girls come to my show. A few of them, you know, when they're in Vegas, a couple of them live there. And it's really funny. One of the porno, I forgot her name, to be honest with you, but I've seen all her work. And when she told me, she says to me one night, she's with a boyfriend, and she says to me, I'm going to tell you a story last time I was on the show, but she said that every movie she's done, it's been just for the money that she really didn't like doing what she was doing.
Right.
And to me, it's like telling a little kid, there's no Santa Claus, right. There's no Easter Bunny. I was so let down, so dejected, so everything that I thought, I thought what a good actress she is. And she says to me, she's so hot. She goes, every guy that I've been with, I just couldn't wait him to get off of me. I would just fake an orgasm. I just want to go home, eat dinner, and get my money. And I think, I'm married to a porno star. This is my life. How hard is this? This is the greatest thing ever of all time.
So you invited her back to the room?
Well, I don't want to go any further. But I don't cheat on my wife because I know how much it would hurt her. But after Elliot Spitzer, you know, the governor of New York.
Yeah.
And, you know, in my show, I like to stick up for guys. But I really felt bad for that woman. I mean, she got up there.
Yeah, well.
You had to feel bad.
Because he was a douchebag. And you could tell from the word go, you hated him.
Oh, I hated him.
Everyone
with passion.
Did.
Well, he was against prostitution. He was against all that. And everything. It's like all those preachers, the Jerry Falwells. These guys all have these double standards. So this poor woman is on the stage, and you can see she's humiliated. She's by the podium. She's mortified. And my wife says to me, you know, if you ever did that and cheated on me and got a hooker, I'd kill myself. And I'm going, like there's not enough of a temptation.
Right. Win-win,
to get a hooker. Now you're going to dangle another cat in front of the ducky. Wait, I get a hooker, you kill yourself, and leave me a giant insurance policy. Honey, I can never live with myself.
Did you up the policy yet?
Yeah, right.
Step one?
I'd like to. But anyway.
Now, Bobby, let me, I have to, this question is directed to the Jewish part of you, Bobby Slayton. Yeah. How would you reconcile paying $4,000 for a night with that chick, too, by the way. Can you imagine?
No, because I drew it down to $39.99.
Okay, good.
Well,
what could she possibly do would be worth $4,000, though? I mean, it's just a vagina, right?
Did you see the picture of her?
You know what? And you're right about that. That's all it is, and that's all women need to have sex. You know, I was talking about porno the other night, and a chick in the front row goes, why do you watch porno? Why don't you just have sex? Because I don't have a vagina. See, women, you know what? Let's be honest. If you want to have a sexual encounter, any woman listening to a show right now, you can go somewhere. You might not get George Clooney, depending on your looks and where you're going, but I'm saying you can get sex. A guy can't just go out and get sex.
That's true.
We need money. We need a wallet. We need a utility belt. I need a condom. I need chloroform, flowers, a shovel, an alibi.
I thought you said chloroform. I thought that was one of the words you used.
No, I said chloroform. Mm.
No, I think you misunderstood.
Okay, good. All right, Bobby, we got to run.
All right.
Always love having you here. Hooters, Las Vegas, the Night Owl Showroom.
It's pretty good. By the way, it says you got to be 21, but you have to be 18. All the ads say 21. It's taking Hooters a while to fix it. But if you're 18, you can come to the show.
Okay.
Oh,
fantastic.
Okay, great.
All right.
And let me give out the phone number is 866-LV-HOOTS, or probably easier to remember is BobbySlayton.com. And, Bobby, I'll look forward to seeing the show, man, next time I'm in Las Vegas.
No,
I can't wait.
You're not going to go.
Yeah.
Whatever. He'll come to your house and you'll leave.
Yeah.
All right, Bobby, thanks for coming.
Thanks, guys.
Ralph is here on KRQFM, passing Los Angeles. Time for another look at the showbiz beat.
I wonder why Caltech doesn't have a monster basketball team.
Yeah, because a lot of people go there for athletic.
Yeah, and usually nerds are really athletic and
got
talented
quite the program going
on the field or the court. So.
This coach is taking people and he's molding them into great team. Oh, wait, no.
Actually, if we throw the ball in a parabola at approximately 17 degrees, I believe we will hit the basket in 9.0 seconds.
Last month, they lost to a team called Pomona Pitzer, 92-33 was the final score of that game.
No.
Wow.
Well, Pitzer's a powerhouse.
That Pitzer.
That's right.
You can't beat the Pitzers.
When you grow up as a good high school player, you think...
Go Pitzers! Go Pitzers!
You think, I got to go to Pitzer.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about show business, shall we? It's been announced that Oasis and Foo Fighters will headline this year's Virgin Festival in Toronto. That sounds like a good show, don't it?
It does, yeah.
Sure.
Foos will close out the all-day event on September the 6th, while Oasis will do the same the following night. So September 6th and 7th are the dates. Other acts on the bill include Paul Weller, Stereophonics, and some Canadian bands no one has ever heard of. So please enjoy. Ah, Oprah Winfrey lost her best friend of 13 years this week.
Us Weekly. Oh, I am so glad!
Us Weekly reports that Oprah's Cocker Spaniel Sophie is no longer with us. Apparently, Sophie got between Oprah and some chunky monkey ice cream.
Oh,
and
no, no.
All they found was some fur.
So, Oprah, nopra.
Sorry to hear about that.
I'm so fat.
Yeah. Here's the thing. You know, I hate the photos of celebrity babies, because babies, when they're born, look like hamsters.
Yeah.
Or raisins or lemmings or something.
Or at best, babies.
Newborns look at best identical. That's why they put tags on them in hospitals, because there's no way you can look through the window and go, oh, yeah, that's my kid. They have to actually put, like, they brand them or something. They put a chip in their ear, or they put some sort of notch on their nose or something so you can tell who they are.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But
they notch their nose.
They all look the same, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I hate the photo spreads of celebrity babies that are paid. Millions of dollars are paid for these photos.
They wouldn't pay millions if people didn't pick it up and look at it. But I have never understood why anyone would.
Well,
I don't get that.
Here's why we're not in the know, Kevin. Mark Anthony and Jennifer Lopez,
sure.
They had twin babies, Max and Emmy.
Sure.
People Magazine paid $6 million.
No,
for
the
photograph.
They did not.
$6 million. What?
And we would say, that's madness, because no one gives a rat's ass. Well,
yeah, that's what we would say.
That's what we would say.
Apparently, we also said Dancing with the Stars would never work.
That's right. They put the photos up first on their website.
Right.
Web traffic shot up 4 million hits for the People Magazine website. And editors are expecting to triple the newsstand sales of the magazine.
Triple.
Featuring the magazine. Featuring the photographs.
May have to, at some point, open up the phones to our listeners, who obviously are guilty, some of them, of patronizing these baby photos, and find out what it is they expect to see when they seek out a picture of a newborn.
The only thing I'm interested in is the mother hot and is the baby ugly. If that's the case, I'm in. That's funny. But otherwise, I don't even get it.
I don't either.
But triple is crazy.
People dying standing in line to get football. To get a glimpse at a photograph of Jennifer Lopez's kids.
What's up with that?
Whew. Relationship news. Evangeline Lilly and Dominic Monaghan apparently together again. Us Weekly Magazine reporting that the lost co-stars just couldn't stay apart. But they are once again keeping their romance quiet and private. So don't tell anybody. And Penn Jillette and Monica Seles were booted off last night's edition of Dancing with the Stars. I'm sorry I missed it, because apparently the Jonas Brothers performed two songs live.
So that show's got everything.
I missed Dancing with the Stars and the Jonas Brothers all in one fell swoop.
Kevin, your kids are about old enough to be into the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they love them?
Yeah, I think so. Not love, but like, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like...
But kids don't... I don't think kids watch Dancing with the Stars, do they?
That's why the Jonas Brothers were on, is because they want to make sure that everybody watches Dancing with the Stars.
Jonas Brothers are kind of like, Nelson? What was that band, the kids?
Hanson.
Yeah, kind of like that, right? When Hanson was when they first broke, that kind of deal?
Just like, you know, poppy music for kids.
Yeah, it blows. And if you have kids and you think they have talent, you're going to want to send them to Idol Camp.
No.
Yes?
No.
Idol Camp is a two-week summer camp designed to tutor musical kids between the age of 10 and 15 and have them hone their skills and develop them into being competitors for American Idol.
That's just not good.
Here's who will be mentoring your kids this summer in Idol Camp. Bo Bice. Banana Banana Fo Fice. Me, My, Mo Mice. Bo Bice. He, of course, was the long-haired rocker dude who did not win the competition. Ace Young.
Had a minute of success. They sold a few records, at least. He did benefit from the show.
Ace Young from season 5, who did not win the competition.
Yeah, did nothing,
Kimberly Caldwell.
Well, she won season...
She was on season 2, however, did not win. She's now working for TV Guide Channel.
Okay.
the video powerhouse at his TV Guide Channel. And Anthony Fedorov,
Never heard of him.
Who I never heard of him either.
Once a promising young chess player. I don't think he was even on American Idol.
Oh, actually, I think the Flyers drafted him, didn't they? In 97 or 98?
Yes, he was a right wing, and he played for a season and a half until concussions took him out of the game.
And you know that every one of those kids is convinced that if they go to Idol Camp, they're going to make the show.
But if you're being taught by the losers, I think is my point. What success can you expect when you get to Idol if the losers are the ones coaching you?
I don't know.
Don't you want your Fantasias and your Taylor Hicks or those people?
I would have my kid raise their hand and say, "And how did you win?
How did you exactly do when you were on?" Ass clown.
Who else you got?
American Idol. Balloons.
It does.
Thank you, Kevin. Today's celebrity birthdays: actor Leonard Nimoy, probably best known as Paris from Mission Impossible. He is 77.
Spock, probably.
Oh, that's right. He was Spock, wasn't he?
Oh, he was so great on Mission Impossible, though, wasn't he?
He was. 77 years old today. James Caan is 68. Steven Tyler from Aerosmith turned 60. Martin Short is 48. Michael Imperioli, who played Christopher on The Sopranos, is 42. James Iha from Smashing Pumpkins is 40. T.R. Knight from Grey's Anatomy is 35. Amy Smart, who I just adore. She's just so adorable and sexy and talented. Remember that Crank movie she did with Jason Statham?
That was great.
Yeah. Great film. She's 32 years old today. And Keira Knightley, speaking of sexy and talented, is 23. She's 23 years old. Feels like she's been a movie star forever.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, we love this next guy, Roy Dowell, Caltech men's basketball head coach, because we believe very strongly in futility. I mean, that's what this show is about day in and day out, is coming in, not getting the job done, but having the balls to get back up the next day and come back and try again.
You have to embrace failure.
That's
our theme.
I can't wait for this to come out on DVD. It briefly played in theaters last fall. The movie is called Quantum Hoops, and it's all about the California Institute of Technology and their Beavers program. Roy, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. Thanks for joining us, man.
Good morning, guys. Thank you for having me.
We're delighted. Now, Caltech, of course, has a reputation as being one of the best schools in America for really, really smart people. You do nothing but churn out brilliance down there, right?
Absolute brilliance. No better college in the world.
And playing tomorrow night in the Sweet 16. Very excited about that. You guys are kind of the Cinderella story.
You do. What sports programs do you have down there at Caltech? Obviously, you're the head coach of the basketball team. What else do they offer athletically?
We have 16 to 17 sports. We have a men's soccer team. We have women's basketball, of course. We have men's and women's water polo, men's and women's swimming, cross-country, track and field,
Now, Roy, why don't you tell people why we have you on talking about the basketball program?
Why do you have me on?
Yep.
I would imagine it's because you've seen or heard about that movie, Quantum Hoops.
Because?
The movie, it's a great movie. It's a documentary. And by the way, it's still showing in theaters. I'm working my way back to Boston right now. It's going to show in Cambridge, Massachusetts this weekend, and it's also you got to let Bean know that it's going to show in Seattle this weekend as well.
Now, are you kidding me? This weekend I'm totally there. I'll look that up. That's fantastic.
Please do it. I think it's at the Landmark Theater in Seattle. If you go to the Quantum Hoops website, you can find the dates. And then it also got a Rick Greenwald, the producer, just got a release date in New York City for, I think, mid-May.
Now, the reason that people are excited about this movie, it's apparently a good movie. It's narrated by Dave Duchovny. But the team, the Caltech basketball team, has not won, is this correct, a game in the Southern California Intercollegiate Athletic Conference in 21 years?
I think it's actually 23 years.
23 years you haven't won.
And the number in the media is 273 games, and we recounted the other day because, we're at Caltech, and we've got to do good math.
Yeah, you have good.
I think we've come up with the numbers now, 271 consecutive games, which is just it's almost an impossible number.
It's really, it's hard not to accidentally win in that amount of time.
Correct.
Go ahead, Dave.
I'm sorry. I understand that you don't have the cream of the crop in terms of people who go to college for athletics. I understand that all of the players that you coach are players who are doing it for love of the game, because clearly they're there because they're pursuing their academic pursuits. But, I mean, some of these games that you lose are pretty close games. You lose by 8 points here, 10 points there. I mean, occasionally there's a blowout, not as much as there used to be. But, I mean, Kevin's right. It does seem like the other team would just be having an awful night once in a while and you'd end up winning.
You would think, but I mean, part of it is, our athletic quotient of our team is significantly lower than anybody else we're going to play against. I have yet to have a roster where half the players played on their high school varsity basketball team.
Yeah, which you don't have, right?
Right, correct. We don't have it. So, you know, immediately starting out every year, it's going to take us a while. The other part of it is that of the young people we do have there, you know, they're not guys that spend a lot of time in the off season working on their bodies, their strength and fitness. They're not going
right.
to spend a lot of time in the gym playing. And so when we get started on October 15th, we're much in arrears of everybody else in the country.
Okay, but
and then as we get into January and February, and our kids have had a number of repetitions and have played together, we do have a nucleus of pretty credible players. We've had two kids that have been all conference in the last 3 years.
Right. But see, here's the question. When I was in high school, I played high school basketball. And my freshman year, we didn't win a game. And it was really depressing. As a matter of fact, we got beat. I don't know if you've ever been beaten this bad. We got beat 139-36.
Close.
But then, like, sophomore year, they kind of turned it around. Junior year, we were doing pretty well. Senior year, you know, we had a great year. 21 seasons, why do you guys even field a team? I mean,
I think that's a fair question that Caltech probably reviews. Whether it's informally or formally, I think it's a question Caltech probably reviews periodically every 2 or 3 years. And
how do they keep coming up with a positive? Yep, thumbs up. Let's keep going.
Well, and that's the thing. But you know what? These guys aren't lovable losers. And I think part of we've made a huge cultural change there. In that, when I first got there, a lot of the accomplishment for the guys was to get to the warm up period prior to the game and say, "Hey, this is pretty cool. I'm playing college basketball. I'm wearing a uniform."
I am warming up before a game. This doesn't get any better than this.
Yeah, and you know, I think we've moved well beyond that to the point now where actually the last game this year we had kind of a skeptic in the press that came to watch a game and he goes, "Coach, I got to tell you," he says, "I came here tonight expecting to see you guys win." And
what?
You know, that's a far cry from where we once were.
Did you win?
Well, that's a guy not paying attention to, clearly, Coach. That's what's going on. Now, what about you, a guy who's had a lot of experience coaching, and what, you've been there 6 or 7 years down at Caltech now. When you think ahead toward next season, do you think, do I really want to put myself through that futility, or do you think I'm more talented than this, I deserve to be at a school that has a real competitive chance?
Well, you know, I think the reality is that it's my sixth season at Caltech, and I think we've won, you know, we've won a handful of non-conference games, I think maybe 5 games. So my cumulative record must be somewhere around like 5 wins and, what, 125 losses?
Right.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of other jobs that way.
You can't put that on your resume. You just leave it off, right? You just go, "Oh, I used to coach. I don't even."
Yeah, and you don't point to it. But we've had guys there, and the guy that just wrote the article in Time Magazine, he came in and he said.
That's where I saw it, Time Magazine.
Yeah, he said the basketball IQ of you guys is terrific. Even the non-playing guys from high school have terrific basketball IQs. You run a motion offense.
But that doesn't count, dude.
Well, it does count.
They don't say final score, final basketball IQ.
Well, two things I would say to that is that, one, you have to keep redefining what success truly is.
Right. You define it down. That's what we've done our entire careers. You just define success as whatever you're accomplishing.
And the other part of that is that we're playing against every single school that we play against recruits. Division 1, 2, and 3, everybody in the country recruits. Those teams are expected to get better. They're expected to succeed on some level. And so, you know, recruiting is dynamic.
All right,
the missing piece at Caltech is that we've got wonderful admissions people. They empathize greatly with what we do.
Sure.
We've got faculty members that we got some faculty members that have competed in Division I athletics at some of the big universities, and the mission of Caltech is to educate the best science, math, engineering, technology students in the world. It's not to have great athletics.
Okay. I asked you if the school had rethought the policy. Have you rethought the policy and gone to the school and said, "Look, if we're going to have a basketball team, how about some recruiting?"
Well, no, it's not my job to rethink the policy. My job is to prepare that team as best I can, and I work real hard at that. I recruit as hard as Mike Krzyzewski and Ben Howland, and I try to find young people that have the academic ability and the intellectual accomplishment to be at Caltech. And the missing piece is that every school in the country has mechanisms that put athletes into their undergraduate student body. We don't. We rely on the random element of selection, which is what Caltech is known for, based on a faculty model.
And that's working out how, would you say?
We've had some modest success because this team, despite the lack of the wins, has gotten better. We've just finished a 3-year run where people think it's been the best 3 years of competitive men's basketball since a team won a championship in the 50s.
Okay, and how many wins in those 3 years?
Five.
Five wins.
But here's the thing, Kevin. The games that they're losing now, if you look at the record overall, they're losing by, you know, 10, 15 points rather than 40 or 50 points. I mean, that is a huge – that's a huge accomplishment.
Right. We had two games this past – in the last month of the season, we had two games go to overtime. Like I said, we've got a critical nucleus of players, those four, five, six guys that are very good players.
Well, I love what you're doing with the squad, and I think at the end of your career, whenever that is, Roy, you deserve your own Nobel Peace Prize.
Yeah,
they had
kidding.
To give you some sort of prize for coaching this squad for as long as you have.
Last question, Roy. Do you
sure.
have friends that are coaches other places, and do they call you up occasionally and go, how's that working out at Caltech?
Well, I have a lot of friends in coaching, and I think when we get together at the Final Four in San Antonio in a couple of weeks,
sure.
when I see him on the road recruiting this summer and whatnot, I think my stories make them all feel a lot better.
Yeah, well,
yeah, that's true. That's, right. You do need some sort of base that you can compare everybody else to. That's true. The film is called Quantum Hoops, still playing occasionally in theater. We'll look for it out on DVD. Go to the website quantumhoops.com to find out what's new with that. And, of course, we've been talking to Roy Dow, the Caltech men's basketball head coach. Go Beavers. Roy, thanks for joining us, man. We enjoyed it.
Thank you, guys.
All right, bye.
Psycho Mike, you're a little late coming to the party if what you're here to say is the hills blows and you want all those people dead. I mean, well, that's not really new or news.
Mike's been watching that show since the beginning and complaining about it. What's wrong now, Mike?
I can't believe Monday was a season premiere,
mm-hmm.
the highly anticipated season premiere of The Hills.
Right.
And now, the great part about The Hills in the beginning was that these women didn't have very special lives, and it just kind of followed them, and it was this fighting and the feuding between these stupid girls, and it was like high school, and you sat back and you laughed at it.
You watched them implode.
Now they're out, and they've just had to create these ridiculous, surreal situations for them to live in. And on top of it, everybody on there needs to be put to death. Spencer, especially.
Okay.
Spencer.
Well, no kidding.
Spencer, the scrawny, gigantic Adam's apple having ventriloquist doll douchebag prick. Oh my God! This season starts off with Heidi, who was his fiance, left him. She couldn't take it anymore.
Okay.
She fled to Colorado, where her family is from.
Okay.
So we see Spencer's sister showing up to Spencer's apartment to check on him to see how he's doing.
Spencer, what is wrong with your place? It's disgusting.
You clean it up, then.
What's going on?
Heidi went back to Colorado.
What happened?
She just flipped out. It's just so stupid.
So what are you going to do?
Go find her on the mountain in Colorado.
Yeah. That's
By the way,
what I'm doing.
She just flipped out. She's stupid.
His fiance left, so now he's incapable of picking his own clothes up off the floor. I mean, basically, that's what he's saying.
I'm a mess. I can't take care of myself. I'm just too depressed.
Douchebag!
You clean it up.
So Lauren and Whitney are in Paris at some, because they work for Teen Vogue, so they went to some bougie fashion deal,
okay.
Some gala in Paris, okay? So they're at this ball, and Lauren gets a call on her phone from L.A., from Adrena, buck teeth with huge fake rack.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, I got some bad news for you.
Adrena?
Hey, Lauren.
Hang on.
I went to Ledoux tonight. I saw Brody and Frankie there. Brody was with another girl the whole time, and he kept calling her his girlfriend.
He's a girlfriend?
Yeah, they were, like, all hugging and kissing the whole night.
Oh, sentimental music.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, okay, they just patched things up, her and Brody. They were just, you know, they realized they both were meant for each other. Now she's in Paris and he's got another girlfriend? What am I going to do?
A guy's got to move on.
Oh, yeah. So Lauren.
She had been gone 26 hours.
Right. Lauren says to Whitney, I got a lot of problems. Brody's back home and he's got this new girlfriend. What are we going to do?
Adrena saw Brody out, and he was with Frankie and some girl, and he was, like, calling the girl his girlfriend.
Really?
Mm-hmm. If he can do it, so can we. I'm sure the Paris is full of guys that are cooler than Brody.
Yes! Uplifting music, we're gonna find new men.
That was the quickest. That was the quickest any girl's ever gotten her heart broken and gotten moved on.
She pressed end on her phone, walked across the room, and that's her solution. Son of a bitch! Okay, let's leave Paris for a second.
Right.
Meanwhile, back in Colorado, Spencer shows up. Okay,
to try and find her on the mountain.
She has fled L.A. to get away from this prick, and he just charters this flight up to Mount Butte or wherever the hell this like ritzy middle of nowhere town.
Right.
Okay, and he just shows up.
And he keeps calling her. She won't answer the phone. She's got the phone turned off. She doesn't want to talk to him yet. Of course, that doesn't deter our man Spencer.
She's made it very clear.
Sure.
I don't want anything to do with you right now. I need my space. Well, she's not exactly too happy when he first confronts her.
What are you doing here?
I didn't know if you were ever going to pick up your phone.
I mean, I haven't answered the phones because I don't even know what to say to you right now.
And I don't expect you to say anything to me. It's about me getting off my chest what I didn't get to say
in LA. It's about you.
Exactly. I don't expect you to say anything. I just flew here in the middle of nowhere in winter. I'm in a parka. Just sit there and let me talk to you because that's all about me.
I expect you to listen.
All right. I'm not kidding. This is really the timeline.
Okay.
Flashback to Paris, okay? Now,
Paris.
They've just come to the conclusion that the guy that she's in love with back in LA has this new girlfriend, mm-hmm. okay? Isn't it just odd that they happen to meet up and befriend a ultra hip and possibly good looking group of musicians in Paris, and they take them out to the club? Okay, mm-hmm. they're at this club hanging out with this ultra hip rock and roll band of five dudes that are like super hip and good looking. And he says to Lauren, "Lauren, don't you need to go to the Eiffel Tower with me?
Have you seen the Eiffel Tower?
No.
No.
I saw a little bit when we drove by, but just the very top."
We should go to the Eiffel Tower.
I really want to go.
Let's do that, yes. We can do that whenever you want.
So if we go to the Eiffel Tower, we have to stop and buy a bottle of champagne and just pop it.
Yes!
Yes, let's do that.
Just, okay.
That's all I want.
Yes. They are good actors and actresses,
aren't
they?
That could happen.
Isn't that how everybody's life works out? Isn't that how every girl's trip to Paris works out when she's there for business?
Sure. Yeah, every time.
Son of a bitch. All right. Meanwhile, back in Colorado...
Yeah,
Spencer thinks that his first confrontation with Heidi didn't go too well. So they go out and they sit down and have dinner at a local joint. And he wants to really try to make sure that they can work things out while he's out here in Colorado.
So when are you leaving?
Trust me, I regret coming.
I mean, you coming here, it just confirmed everything I was thinking.
Well, what am I supposed to do? You don't pick up the phone. You don't call me out.
I don't know what to say to you.
So that's my point. That you don't know what you want, and I do, so we're in two different places.
I mean, it's not so easy. What do you expect me to do?
Say, why don't you just break up with me?
Oh, you want to break up?
I mean, nothing's going to resolve here.
I feel like I'm in a one-way relationship here.
You're about to be in one.
Yes, he's going to threaten her.
Yeah. Throws his napkin down. You're about to be in one. I'm out.
You can't leave me. I'm leaving you.
Oh, my God. And by the way, in the time since last season, Heidi has done something to herself that I just don't understand. She's got these waxy inner tubes that she's bolted on her face and now calls lips. She's got Baron Davis and Seabiscuit's teeth mismatched into her mouth with these ridiculous cone-shaped boobs that she put on her Auschwitz survivor body. F her to death.
She does weigh about 70 pounds, too, this season.
Yeah, 70 pounds looks real good when you've got D cups.
Wow.
You bitch. Now... Lauren has this fantasy night with this, like I said, this super good-looking model / musician in Paris. And he gives her a ride on his bike in her Givenchy dress that she was given to after she ruined the first dress she was given with a curling iron that they just seem to gloss over because it's no big deal for her to just go through $7,000 dresses.
Right.
Okay. He drives her home, blows her this kiss goodnight at her, you know, $7,000 a night hotel. And the show's coming to an end as they're taking their chartered car back to the airport. And this is what Whitney and Lauren have to say to each other.
Who are we?
You're so cool.
So, back to LA.
Back to reality.
Stop. Sentimental music. Credits are rolling. No, not back to reality. Back to your life in the Hollywood Hills with lattes and gossip and no jobs and 5,000 square foot condos.
Yeah.
F you in your head.
So you're saying...
With a Makita drill.
So you're saying that you're a fan of the new season especially. You like it more than last season.
I'm saying, come on. Can't wait for next week.
Time to talk about the new movie that's coming out this weekend called 21, which looks fantastic. Let's say good morning to Kate Bosworth. Good morning, Kate.
Hi, how are you guys?
Very good. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Great to talk to you. I got to tell you why my partner Kevin is so excited about your movie is because he started reading the book like he has so many other books. He never finished it, so he has no idea how the story ends. And Kevin, finally, you get a payoff this weekend to find out how the book ends.
I don't really finish books, but the beginning of it was fascinating. tell us about how you got involved in this.
That must be very telling about you in some way.
It is, yeah. I don't have the patience to finish anything. I see something shiny and I move on. But
in fact,
no.
Yeah, that's true.
In fact, Kate, by the end of this call, by the end of the, unfortunately he is, but not for much longer. By the end of this call, if you go to say goodbye and he's already off the phone, it's nothing personal. He's just lost interest in the conversation. Now, the movie 21 is a great title because it immediately makes you think of blackjack in Las Vegas, but it's based on a best-selling book that was called Bringing Down the House. Tell folks the story, Kate. Maybe you haven't heard about it.
Well, to reiterate, it is based on a true story. It's about five MIT students who clearly are mathematical geniuses who were kind of wrangled by a main teacher who is played by Kevin Spacey in the film to learn how to card count and then go on the weekends to Vegas and take the casinos and the big corporations for millions of dollars, learning basically using their mathematical abilities.
It's funny because I've tried to card count because I go to Vegas a lot. So, and I would get the books and I would read about how to card count. You got the plus one, the minus one system, right. And then you know you have like a drink, and then you realize you completely lost count, and it just never works out.
That's what was so amazing, and you'll see in the film is that they go under a certain boot camp before they go to Vegas in terms of distractions. You think about how many distractions there are when you're at the table, in terms of someone asking for a drink, the slot machines, you know, beautiful women walking by, whatever it may be. You've got to keep the count that comes so fast. The cards come out so fast, and so you've not only have to be either in a mathematical genius or incredibly focused.
Right, yeah. Neither of which I am. Now, but the other thing that's interesting about card counting is that you can have an accurate card count and still lose. There's still a certain percentage of loss involved. You can't really tell when you're going to win. But they did it enough, and they learned signals, right? And they brought other people to the table when they were hot and raked in millions.
Well, it originally started with individuals going, and then they realized that they had to create a team in order to really win big, because I don't know if it's going to make any sense at all, but you have to have a few people playing as spotters, so they bet very small and they keep the count, and as soon as it gets really hot, meaning face cards, aces, knowing that when those are going to come up based on their count, they call in the big player, and then that big player comes down playing sort of a drunk billionaire, whatever it may be, he'll just put down $20,000 a hand, which the stakes obviously get really high, or even more than that, and they usually win and double it up, and you know, and so they made a lot of money. I mean, and that's why it's more difficult. I mean, it's almost impossible to card count now because they kind of changed the whole way Vegas.
Partly because of this story, right? Now they put a lot more decks in play,
yeah,
and take them out a lot more often.
Six decks in a random shuffle. It's almost impossible.
But here's what I don't understand, and if you're just joining us, Ms. Kate Bosworth is on the phone with us right now talking about 21 that opens up on Friday. It's not illegal to do, yet the casinos spend so much time and energy making sure that nobody does it. How can they stop you or throw you out or, you know, whatever complaint they have against you just for something that's going on in your head?
Exactly. That's what many people have misinformation, and that card counting is cheating, and it's actually not. I mean, it's basically
legal.
Using your brain,
right?
If you have a gifted one mathematically, to keep the count and win. Now, clearly, casinos are not going to like that. So they have the right to make their own rules, basically. I mean, they can throw anyone out who they don't want to be there, and clearly those people fit that box.
Now, we know that you're pretty late on time and we're pretty late getting to you, but set up the clip. We have a clip of Kevin Spacey, the teacher, being very angry at the dude for messing up. I don't know if he lost a lot of money he was supposed to win.
Yes.
And you're trying to defend him. What's that setup?
Well, the setup is basically Kevin's character says to the kids all the time, you're counters, not gamblers. In this particular clip, you have the main character in the film, Jim Sturgis, gambles. He loses it. He gets caught in with the whole lifestyle, the gamble of it, and so that's when Kevin gets very angry, because in that one hand he loses $200,000.
And then you try to defend him, and that doesn't go well.
Are you out of your mind?
I don't know what happened. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're sorry. Oh, well, see, now that's what I've been waiting to hear, Ben. As long as you're sorry, I'm out 200 grand, but Ben's sorry. Everybody hear that? Ben's sorry! So we can all go back to being friends and laughing over cocktails.
Come
Come on, Mickey. It can happen to anyone. They get under rush and they lose control.
You shut your mouth. This is business.
Oh, that's the don't talk to my Kate that way.
Here's I've worked with Kevin a couple of times, and and it's still when he has to play a scene like that, it's the you can hear a pin drop. It's not.
He's an amazing actor.
It is chilling. The movie is called 21. It opens everywhere on Friday. And this is what's awesome about coming on our show, Kate, is that our listeners are going to go see this movie. They're going to be sitting there in the theater going, dude, I could so do that. Let's go to Vegas. Come on.
Let's go to Vegas. I'm sure the casinos would welcome that. And
yeah.
I say beware.
Yeah, so don't try it. Maybe it won't work as well.
Exactly.
All right, Kate, 21 opens Friday. Thank you very much for talking
to us.
Bye now.
All right, yes, you're very talented on the guitar. We get it. Listen to you. It's very soulful. Okay.
It's almost over. Just a second.
It's my favorite coffee shop.
This is my favorite part right here.
It's like being at some badass frat party.
Talked over my favorite part. Now we have to listen to it again.
We get it.
The mosh pit goes off, though, on this part. Come on.
Chicks love your acoustic guitar. You must score with all the ladies. I feel like doing a Belushi and just picking up the guitar and...
That is the great Eddie Vedder with Yellow Ledbetter, Pearl Jam, of course. Thanks to Delia Perez from South El Monte for joining us this morning. She was caller 20, and she won tickets to go see Eddie at the Wiltern, sold out in April. Plus, she's eligible for the grand prize drawing we do Friday morning to send someone, maybe Delia, to go see Pearl Jam in New York City. It's 8:59, KRQFM passing Los Angeles. Internet Roundup coming up right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Wednesday morning.
How about I give away some tickets to the Paley Center for Media? They're having their annual television festival. It's just been a great lineup of shows this year. And the final show we have to give away is a show that's very near and dear to my heart, Mad Men, over there on AMC.
Oh, Mad Men.
This was appointment television for me this past season.
It is great.
Every week I could not wait to see Mad Men.
Ralph, I think about you sometimes when I watch that show thinking how much you wish you were of that age in 1960.
Yes.
The way you want to live.
That was my era. I was totally born out of time because every office, and it's about the maturation of the advertising business in America in the late 50s, early 60s, when advertising really became king, when consumerism was an all-time high post-World War II, and these guys were just at the top of their game. And it takes place in 1960, and all these guys... In this building where they work, this advertising company, every office has a wet bar. And every guy walks in the first thing in the morning and just ice cube, blink, blink, in the glass, just pours himself a nice, neat bourbon, sits behind a desk and lights up a smoke.
That's right.
And they all have meetings.
And sexually harasses his secretary.
Right, and bangs his secretary and swats another one on the ass as she's going by. And
the good old days.
Women knew their place and men were men.
That's right.
Great.
It was the greatest time in America.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love the show, and if you love it too, you can spend the evening with the cast and creators of Mad Men tonight at the Paley Center for Media Television Festival. I've got two pairs of tickets to give away right now. Callers 4 and 5, 1-800-520-1067, callers number 4 and 5, win a pair of tickets to spend the evening with Mad Men. John Hamm, the guy who's the lead in that show, just a stud, just a stud.
Why don't you marry him?
I wish I could.
But he has a very secretive backstory, Ralph.
Yeah, he's not even the guy that his wife thinks he is. He's got a whole different identity. He reinvented himself. And his wife, by the way, is just diabolically hot. And then he's banging a smoking hot little artist in Greenwich Village on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, that's how you got to live.
It's good times.
Mad Men. Sane Men, they should call it. Actually, Mad Men starts for Madison Avenue, man. That's what the Mad
Who knew?
Comes from. Yeah. I did.
How many seasons has that been on? I haven't seen
just the one.
One season.
Yeah, but it's coming back soon. So, all right, let's talk about showbiz, shall we? Looks like CBS's gambit to put Britney Spears as a guest star in How I Met Your Mother turned out to be a success. Huge ratings winner this week. 10.6 million viewers tuned in to watch whether she'd self-destruct on the show or not.
Jackpot.
And by all accounts, she acquitted herself quite well.
She acted...
Everyone said she was charming and funny in the role. I did not personally watch it, but Bean did.
I did, and they were even able to repair her skin, so she looked decent on television.
Wow.
It's a lot of
even
repairing.
In HD?
I didn't see any HD.
Looks like Josh Brolin will continue his streak of starring in big movies. Hollywood Reporter reports that he
will be playing George W. Bush.
Oh, dude.
In a movie about W by Oliver Stone called W.
That's just going to be a bother making that movie.
That's just going to be a love fest. In our heads. Isn't that just going to be a love fest?
It's got to be a comedy, right? Doesn't
have
to be a
think.
Comedy?
I don't know. He doesn't
Bush,
have a lot of...
Bush giving speeches?
I don't think he... Oliver Stone's got a lot of comedy in him.
I'm sure there's a saying here in Tennessee.
Texas?
I know it was in Texas. fool me once, shame on you.
Yeah.
Fool me... Won't get fooled again. Guy actually
that
said
girl's
that.
Fat.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Well, not on purpose, obviously, no. But in the real world, he did.
I'm not sure the right way to say it. I really, really like being the president.
Right. I bet you do.
He's the me of politicians, and that's why I think it'll be a great movie.
Elizabeth Banks is going to play Laura Bush.
Oh come
yeah,
on.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about. Really?
Yeah. I like Bush.
Yeah, that's
come
what
on.
I'm talking about Elizabeth Banks.
About fantasy.
You know what movie she's also in? Is Kevin Smith.
That's a very interesting question. I don't know.
Kevin Smith's in the film, Zach and Miri Make a Porno.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She makes a porno with Seth Rogen. That seems unfair somehow.
I've got a clip from it. Can we hear it?
Too many OBGYNs aren't able to practice their love with women all across this country.
Yeah, need to practice your love. And Jessica Simpson is planning on doing a remake of Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA.
Yes!
Oh, let's
yes.
roll.
Yes.
She will be covering the song with her sister Ashley and Ashley's boyfriend Pete Wentz backing her up on vocals.
Hell yes.
It is the song they play in hell when you die. Those three people doing a Springsteen cover.
If this is not evil, then evil has no meaning.
Proceeds of the download of each time the single is downloaded from your computer will go to help injured soldiers, claim Jessica's
see?
People.
Good cause, bad song. Good cause, bad song.
Yeah, it's a good cause. And I guess she thinks Born in the USA is about being proud
being patriotic.
To defend your country, when in reality it's really a protest song by Springsteen about soldiers getting screwed by the army and the...
Maybe
and the,
she knows it's about soldiers getting screwed and
maybe.
She just misconstrued that. I have a clip. If you'd like to hear it.
Yeah, Eric. Hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude.
Really?
I need you to take care of something
really?
For me, man. Yeah, I got these
really?
Guys I want you to double-cross for
really?
Me.
Really? At 9:05. Really?
Miss me, Ralph?
That's when you decided to pull it out.
Sorry.
Didn't play that at all while you were gone, Kevin. Just so you know.
Already 10 minutes behind schedule. That's when you whip out the Cucamonga Heat.
Yeah, Eric. That, hey, what's up, man? It's Mr. Khan, dude. I need you to take care of something for me, man.
Yeah.
I would call that pure malarkey.
Your judgment is sharp as ever.
That's not the clip.
Today's celebrity birthdays, just a bunch of people. Look it up yourself if your birthday's today. It's just too many. It's just too many. It's just too many.
Or a lot.
It's just too many. There's a bunch of people. Look it up. It's on the internet.
You had time if I wouldn't have played the Cucamonga.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Happy celebrity birthdays to all those celebrities who had birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What about the Internet Roundup? What about that?
Oh, the Internet Roundup. That's the place at krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. You click on Internet Roundup, and we've got a bunch of videos up there that are our favorites. We've got the hand farter up there. We got the L.A. Lakers singing Just Say No. We got Sarah Silverman's I'm Effing Matt Damon. We got the Japanese human Tetris. Johnny Knoxville getting hit in the nuts with the motorcycle handlebars. Dodgers baseball boogie. The gnome's gone wild. There's a bunch of stuff there, and we have some new ones for you right now.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
All right. There's a midget Hillary Clinton.
Yes, there is. And I'm going to vote for her.
Online. And the midget has arms about as long as he is tall. And it's not a good look, really. I got to be honest.
I think it's a woman. I think it's a female midget.
No.
It looks just like Hillary Clinton, I think.
No, it isn't. Well,
should
it's
I look closer?
It's a dude. Is it a dude?
Is it really?
I don't know. I thought it was a dude when I watched it. Well, here's the clip from the midget Hillary Clinton.
Oh, soy la pequeña Hillary Clinton. A mi marido ya lo perdoné.
Yes.
That one's more of a visual. You do yourself a favor, though, and check out the midget Hillary Clinton. You got to see that on the Internet Roundup.
There's also a song up there, White Chicks and Gang Signs, and
sure.
It's White Chicks Throwing Gang Signs, and this song.
It's not enough if you want to be mine. You sold me when you make a gang sign. White Chicks and Gang Signs. White Chicks and Gang Signs. Good gang signs. White Chicks
yeah,
and Gang Signs.
I'm not sure why white people feel the need to try to be cool by throwing gang signs. Look, if you're a teenager who's living in the valley, there's no real excuse for you to throw a gang sign in a photo.
Dude,
there just isn't.
How dare you? It's cool. I don't know if you've seen the 1 gallon axe, but it is a, well, it's a guitar, and it's filled with milk. It's a milk-filled guitar. And the guy sings a song about how he's pretty much handed it from heaven.
What did you do with an axe?
From a crazy angel.
What you gonna do with it?
Rock the world's face.
What's inside of it?
Delicious dairy.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, but funny.
What's great about that video is you can't believe it wasn't made in 1987.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful. It's really an amazing, and it's very funny. Yesterday, Beer Mug took the peep eating challenge, and I'm not sure if this is on the Internet Roundup or at the video section, but I think it's at the Internet Roundup now. Beer Mug eating peeps yesterday. I think he was trying to break the record of 103.
That's right.
And he almost made it.
Oh,
is he spitting it out?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's not so much spitting out as it's kind of leaking out.
Oh,
it's sort of seeping like a wound. His face is a big wound. He's got peep as the infection.
That is not pretty.
Yeah, you don't want to watch that, say, right before you eat.
No, you don't. But you really do have to give it up for Muggs because
yes.
He was committed to it. I mean, this is a guy, I don't know why he thinks he's a champion eater because he fails at every single task. But he was, with such enthusiasm for 30 full minutes, was just shoving those Easter peeps down his mouth as much as he could. And he didn't quite have a reversal at the end, but there was definitely some leakage going on.
There
it really
was a lot of leakage. It's not
it was not pretty.
Not a good video. And I don't know why this doesn't happen more, but the news anchors getting in a fight always cracks me up. And this is a video, again, Internet Roundup, Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup at krock.com.
I saw this clip, and this is fantastic. The setup is there's a guy, an anchor, on the TV set, and he's talking to a reporter who's out in the field doing a story about some apartment building maintenance. This is in New York City on their morning show out there. And this guy had just done an interview, and the girl had walked away, and the anchor had some more questions for the girl. So now he's complaining about the way the reporter is mishandling the story, in his opinion, on the scene.
And the reporter comes back at him, and they start arguing on screen, and this is how it sounds.
So what do you want now?
Well, if I have to teach you how to be a reporter, Ollie, I'll do that later.
Oh, why don't you do that later, Jim? I think the lady expressed herself, and you're not here, you're there. Is there any question you'd like me to ask her?
No, I'll give you lessons on how to become a reporter later.
No, I'll give you some lessons on how to be an editor, because I was your boss once.
Yeah, you were, and are no longer. How did that happen?
Well, I don't know.
Here's Erna Vildermillo.
Yeah!
That's the best.
Yeah!
I used to be your boss. You're not anymore. That's the best. How is that not Paul Moyer?
I don't know. It ought to be. It ought to be.
Kevin and Bean, krock.com, Internet Roundup to see those videos.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
As long as Lightning is in charge of the prizes, you'll be winning tickets to the Off-Road Expo coming up at the Fairplex in Pomona, April 4th, 5th, and 6th.
I love off-roady!
How about this? Also, a new live Muse CD-DVD combination. Plus, you get to attend the screening of the visuals on that on April 1st at the Vista Theater. So if you're a Muse fan, you know how great they are. That's a pretty good prize right there.
All right, let's begin with Fonsa Love. Is that possibly the name?
Fonsa Love.
Fonsa Love. Fonsa Love and Pico Rivera.
Yes.
Hello?
Hi there.
Is your name Fonsa Love?
Yes, it is. That's my first name, actually.
Really?
Nice to meet you, Fonsa Love.
We were betting on our intern typing that up poorly. Okay, what are you calling about?
I want to talk about the IRS is actually using YouTube for public service announcements now.
Are they using YouTube? For what?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe not even just YouTube, but I mean, the popularity of YouTube, I actually have 4 videos up right now talking about the new tax refund.
Pay your taxes.
Oh, the refund. Yeah, I guess I can see the refund.
That makes sense.
I don't know why anyone with everything that's on YouTube would go to YouTube and type in IRS.
I don't know, but
see what comes back.
Essential.
Yeah, I guess.
Although it does make sense since people are already on YouTube for the IRS and their commercials or something to say, hey, if you want to find out more, go to YouTube. I mean, it's a good place to send them.
Kevin hates Fonsa Love.
I hung up on Fonsa Love. I apologize.
He doesn't get a prize. Black man doesn't get a prize.
No.
A name like Fonsa Love. He's already he already has a prize. He's got the coolest name ever.
Ob-Josie.
Stop it.
Ob-Hose.
You're making stuff up now.
Jose. Okay. I had O-B-J-O-S-E. Now it's Jose.
He's an obstetrician named Jose.
I think Moose is our intern today. It might be part of our problem. Jose, hi.
Hi. What'd I do, nephew?
What'd I
do? It said O-B-J-O-S-E. What am I supposed to say?
Hose was never an option.
But it was either Jonesy or Jose.
But I thought maybe it was Jose.
Hose was never an option.
I was trying to be funny. I couldn't figure out what it was. All right, Hose. Good morning.
Hose. What guys. I was just throwing this out there. Can we please let Cripples not jaywalk?
Can we have Cripples not jaywalk?
Yes. I know Beans with me on this.
If Cripples call us and ask if they should jaywalk, we'll say no.
Yeah, because the other day I'm driving down Hawthorne Boulevard and this guy with, like, Stephen Hawking syndrome decides to, like, cross the middle of the street.
Very slowly, I imagine, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So you'd like to put more limitations on his movement by telling him where and where he can go.
I'm sorry, but I'm trying to get somewhere.
Yeah. Now, so he was not in a crosswalk. He was jaywalking.
He was jaywalking.
Okay, well, I'm with you on that. They could use the crosswalk
exactly.
like everybody else.
And I honked, and the guy next to me actually looked at me like I was
Well, because you're an a-hole, but... You're not really, because he's in your way.
It's not my fault.
No, I know.
How often do you run across a jaywalking cripple? This is really a problem in your life.
I saw them this past weekend. They're a great band.
Jaywalking cripples?
Very good.
And also, jaywalking fat people, because they can't run.
Well, that's the thing. If you're going to jaywalk, get the hell out of the way. That's the rule.
Exactly.
If you can't get the hell out of the way, use the crosswalk.
I don't know why a fat guy decides to do it. I'm just throwing this out there.
Well, I am with you, Hose.
I say give the cripples a break. They got enough to deal with other than your hostility.
I disagree. They should not be allowed to leave their homes. The world has no place for cripples, as far as I'm concerned.
Sakes.
Come on, they're icky.
You're
about
to Jeremia next?
Jeremia?
In
Norcrow. Good morning.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. What it do?
What's your name?
Jeremiah.
Of course it is.
You need an H in there.
What's going on?
Did you guys hear about Johnny Depp and the girl in a coma?
Is this a joke? Do they go to a bar together?
With the Pope and the rabbi?
No,
sorry, Johnny
not.
Depp, a girl in a coma, and a rabbi going to a bar.
What happened with him and the girl in the coma?
Well, there's this girl in a coma for 6 months, and her favorite actor was Johnny Depp.
Mm-hmm.
And then the story goes...
I feel like I've been hung up on Jeremia. Jeremia? All right.
Oh, no, I'm here.
What happened?
I'm reception.
Speak.
What the hell?
All right. We don't have time for this. I'm sorry.
I think you're in a coma.
So it's the same old story that always happens, is that the family says, oh, Johnny Depp loves this guy, and loves this guy.
Only Bean can put a spin on this. That story that always happens, how people are always just popping out of comas left and right.
It doesn't always happen.
Most people stay in comas.
That's why this is news.
It just
happened with the Spice Girls last year, where they were playing Spice Girls records for a girl because that was her favorite band, and she came out.
So it's twice in 2 decades now.
No, it does not always happen.
A couple
times a year.
If you're in a coma, stay in a coma, Bean says.
And don't crosswalk. If you're crippled, stay in your house.
Let's close
God
with...
damn it, I want you to die.
Let's close with Stevie in Beverly Hills. He's
Steve.
On line four.
I'm
Stevie.
Pretty sure, Steve.
With big, big news for our friend Ralph Garman. Hey, Steve, go ahead.
That Jeremiah guy sounded like he was a homo. that Irish girl
rough crowd.
On American Idol, I just heard from Lisa Stanley that she's pregnant.
The Irish girl on American Idol, she one of the finalists?
Carly Smith.
Carly, yeah.
Who is super talented.
I don't really care because I don't watch TV because TV's for homos.
Everything's a homo with you, isn't
it, Steve? Steve, you got some unresolved issues about sexuality.
He hung up. TV's for homos.
Boom! And he hung up. Irish girl is pregnant, he's claiming.
Yes.
I have heard that as well. That was on the New York News last night. They were talking about that, yeah.
Wow. So, well, good for
her. She
could
be the first ever pregnant American Idol contestant.
Her baby's going to have so many tattoos.
Because
her husband's all tatted up and she's all tatted up, so
that
baby's going to come out sleeved.
I didn't realize that's how it works.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You inherit it.
It's going to be very awkward for the American Idol summer tour, though, if you've got her out there 8 months pregnant or something trying to do
it. She shouldn't jaywalk, I know that.
Tell you that.
She should be crippled
out of the street.
I want to thank all of our many, many guests.
Get somebody right out of a coma, too, because that's happening left and right. People just popping out of comas.
He's the only person that can be upset with that story.
I know.
Why
couldn't she just stay in a coma where she belongs?
It's just not news anymore because it happens so often.
Yes, it is. It doesn't happen that often.
It is news because people rarely come out of their comas. Yeah. That's why people talk about
it. 6 months in a coma. What does a story have to do to impress you?
I want to thank all of our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show, including Kevin for stopping by with a rare appearance this morning. I don't know if he'll be back tomorrow or not, but Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, thanks for joining us. And, of course, TMZ Television, weeknights at 6:30 on Channel 11. How about the dynamic and articulate Floyd Mayweather for joining us? WrestleMania 24 happens this Sunday afternoon. Call your cable provider if you want to see that nonsense. Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of comedy, always entertaining, appearing at the Hooters Las Vegas Night Owl Showroom Wednesdays through Sundays. Go to BobbySlayton.com. caltechmen'sbasketball.com. Thanks to Coach Roy Dow for joining us from the Caltech men's basketball team. We love that. And Kate Bosworth, her film is called 21. That opens up everywhere on Friday.
All right, tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. Dodgers owner Frank McCourt will be on the program talking about the big game against the Red Sox. We are going to talk about the Sweet 16 NCAA tournament tomorrow. UCLA plays tomorrow night, I believe. Ryan Phillippe talking about his movie Stop Loss. We have Tyler Labine, who's in that show that I can never
Reaper.
Remember. Reaper.
Which
that
I love.
Reaper's
great.
I like that show, too. I just can't remember the name of it.
I'm still afraid of that one, Ralph. I got to be honest.
What are you afraid of? It's great. Every week it's great.
It's really good.
Bean, don't fear the Reaper.
Thank you, Mike.
Appreciate it. God.
Wow.
Yes.
For all you Blue Oyster Cult fans out there.
Also tomorrow, I don't know if you remember, we had the L.A. Lakers doing Just Say No to Drugs, and we had the Dodgers Blues song and the Super Bowl Shuffle. All those sports teams in the 80s with those horrible songs.
Right, they're horrible and everyone hates them.
And we've recorded our own.
Don't!
And you'll hear that tomorrow morning. Called the Kevin and Bean team tomorrow on K-Rock. And also, the return of Leslie Nielsen. By request. We got a lot of calls
Comedy icon, star of the Airplane movies and the Naked Gun films, Police Squad on television. The guy is a legend.
Yep. And we got a lot of calls from people saying it went so well last time, you should have him back in. So I thought I would just play a couple of seconds of our last interview with Leslie Nielsen. You guys spoof War of the Worlds. You spoof The Grudge, The Village, Saw, Million Dollar Baby. How many of those movies have you seen?
How about the basketball game?
Basketball game. Remind me about the basketball game. I forget.
Am I talking about the, who am I talking to?
It's Kevin. Kevin.
You know, I do police work. You can't be found.
That's correct. Yes.
Where are you? You're in Dallas, right?
We're in Dallas. Yes. Yes. Just decided to go with it at that point. I don't know what was going on.
Assistant producer Alex has joined us before we turn it over to Kat Corbett. Alex, tell Ralph what you just told me about comas.
What? There was a listener who called in when Pennywise was in after they got off the air and left that her daughter was in a coma and they put Pennywise in an iPod and made her listen to it and then she woke up the next day.
Because she wanted to pull the iPod off. That's why.
It was her favorite band.
Every
goddamn time someone's in a coma, they come out of it instantly.
Yes. Every goddamn time someone's in a coma, they come out of it instantly.
You heartless bastard, you heartless bitch.
No, that was a big deal to us here because we never hear that, Bean. I was trying to IM you saying that's a big deal.
Yeah, it seems like a big deal to us.
Coming
out of a coma.
Always
it
a
just happened to Johnny Depp the other day. He's the 50th guy this year to make that happen.
Bean hates all people who are living. So if you're in a coma, you're closer to the way he likes you.
I think that's what it is. Popped right out of a coma hearing that Blue Oyster Cult joke.
They came
out of a
that
coma.
That put many into a coma.
So they could turn off their radios. So that Bean's helpful there as well.
Kat Corbett is up next with 40 Minute Tom BN. K-Rock, including Jimmy Eat World, also Rise Against, that new song from Flobots. Blink 182, The Brave More.
That is a nutty song.
Can we talk about the Flobots for a second?
Yeah, go to YouTube and look at the video, and we'll talk to you about that tomorrow.
Oh,
yeah, that's crazy.
I've got an ass full of Flobots.
That's crazy beyond words. We'll play that for you. Come